get ready to wrap up this six-game series between the Woodpeckers and the Cannonballers live on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Fayetteville-Kannapolis with the series on the line today. Woodpeckers trying for a split, and we have the action for you in just moments. Andrew Chapman, Colin Casey, glad to have you with us on this Sunday afternoon. The Fayetteville starters have been introduced. Let's send it down to field level for the singing of the national anthem. First pitch comes up next on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Is Victoria Huggins.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming. And the rockets' red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Let's hear it for Victoria Huggins.
Straight from the ballpark, it's time to dig in for some Woodpeckers baseball.
A three-run home run. And four, wide one, right field. That ball is gone.
Here comes the cutoff throw to the plate. He dives in, and he is saved. He's saved.
He's onto the warning track, at the wall, leaping up, and he brought it back.
Down the line, and Matthews has walked it off for the Woodpeckers.
Now, here's the voice of the Woodpeckers, Andrew Chapman.
Peckers baseball is live on the air. We are ready to go from downtown Fayetteville, North Carolina. It's the Woodpeckers and the Cannonballers live on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Broadcasting live from the Czar Law Firm broadcast booth. We welcome you upstairs. Hi, everybody. Andrew Chapman alongside Colin Casey. So glad you could have us with you on this Sunday evening. Right-hander Max Mayer gets ready to make his pro debut. The 16th round pick out of Mizzou gets to debut tonight in front of this hometown crowd. He's opposite right-hander Tanner McDougal, and the Woodpeckers fighting for a series split. Colin, after falling behind in the middle innings yesterday, never really recovered in a 5-1 loss. Fayetteville opened up the series strong back-to-back wins, but they've lost three in a row, and they're up against it now for a chance to play in the playoffs, but not mathematically eliminated yet, and they got to try and fight to stay alive.
And it's really exciting to see the debut of a new arm on the mound in Bryce Mayer, the first draft guy we see pitch in single A. A lot of pitchers were taken by the Astros in this 2024 draft, so Mayer will try to get the ball rolling. But, yeah, if you're the Woodpeckers, just try to do what you've done a lot of this year. There have been a number of instances at home where they've won the first two games, dropped two or three in a row, but won on Sunday to close the series strong. We know the Woodpeckers are going to need to limit the offense for Kannapolis, one of the top offenses in the league. Mayer, quick challenge right out of the gates, and should be a lot of fun for him in his minor league debut.
He'll start out his pro career facing Sam Antonacci, George Wolko, and TJ McCants, the top three of the Cannonballers lineup today. Alec Makarevic's, Rony Hernandez, Ryan Burrows of the middle three, Arxie Hernandez, Luis Pineda, and Nathan Archer rounded out. First pitch of the day, a fastball for a strike at 94 miles an hour. And more officially underway right on schedule, 5:05 p.m. tonight. Mayer gets his sign from his catcher, Will Bush. Wines kicks, fires, and misses down and away for ball one. Official game time temperature in beautiful Fayetteville, North Carolina. Sunshine once again, 86 degrees. We are a 6-for-6 this week in beautiful weather after some rain a couple of weeks ago drowned us out for a couple. Here's a slider down and inside, missing to Antonacci. And he gets ahead, two balls and a strike. It's been a great series for the Kannapolis second baseman. He stands in 6-for-11 this week at the plate. A pair of doubles and three hits in yesterday's game. Big part of the Kannapolis victory. And he's also reached base six times on walks. 2-1. Just misses outside. Bush tried to frame it up for a plate umpire, Jared Neal. Pedro Powell works the bases. Two-man umpire crew in black ball caps. They're breaking out the light blue polos today and dark gray slacks. The 3-1 outside again. And a five-pitch walk sends Antonacci down to first. His seventh walk drawn in this series. Down to first, and here comes George Wolko as he stands in. Let's work around the Fayetteville defense today behind Mayer.
We'll start in left field. The newest member of the Woodpeckers 30 stolen base club in a single season, Cesar Hernandez, the left fielder today. Lucas Spence moves over to center. Neomar Ochoa Jr. in right. Caden Powell, the third baseman. Max Holy at short. Trevor Austin, the second baseman. Hansel Villarroel back in the lineup at first, and Will Bush doing the catching.
The first pitch to Wolko misses outside. And Mayer behind 1-0 on Wolko. Another big series in downtown Fayetteville for Wolko. He's 7-for-21 on the week with a home run and a double. And he's also driven home six runs, up to 42 ribbies on the year, 11 bombs, .254 his batting average. Takes the fastball high and in. And Mayer behind two balls and no strikes. Always a little bit of adrenaline when you head out there on the mound for the first time as a professional. And then kind of settle in as the day goes on, but we're told that a Mayer may not throw more than about 35 pitches in this one or go just about two innings as he tries to work himself into it as Wolko sprays it foul and count goes to 2-1. Mayer is the Mizzou product, 16th round pick, 22 years old, turned 22 back in early February. Stands 6'3", weighs in at 210 out on the hill, and the second Mizzou ball player to join the Woodpeckers this year, playing on the same club as former college teammate Trevor Austin, who will be the leadoff hitter, the cleanup hitter tonight and playing out at second base for the Peckers. Missed high and tight on Wolko. And the count's at two balls and two strikes. Leadoff of first for Antonacci. Villarreal holding him close. Mayer delivers and hits Wolko on the outside of the right foot. Slider gets away and hits him squarely on the cleat. That missed the guard, and Wolko a little bit hobbled as he heads up the first baseline, but first two cannonballers have reached base, and we'll have an early meeting on the mound with Mayer fighting some of his control. Zach Wilkins heading out there to help settle down his starter and make a couple of early tweaks.
To be expected. We've seen plenty of guys that have had command issues to open up their debut, but yeah, for Mayer, must be pretty cool to see a familiar face in Austin in your clubhouse when you first arrived to make your professional debut. We've seen a number of times over the last few seasons, Chappie, where we've had guys from the same school but not play at the same time. Spencer Arrighetti, Jackson Nezu coming from the same school. Same can also be said for Bryant Salgado and Jacob Melton, but never those two at the same time. So a couple of Missouri Tigers living the dream together.
Another look at that hit-by-pitch of George Wolko on MILB.TV. Sees it hit right off the outside of his right foot, closer to the toe area than near his heel. He's got a runner in front of him, Antonacci, two on with nobody out. TJ McCants, former SEC ball player himself out of the Alabama Crimson Tide program, takes a fastball low and away for ball one. McCants stands in batting .222 over just a brief stint with Kannapolis since being drafted, two home runs and three RBIs. Cants with a .344 on base percentage as well. Six hits so far as a pro. Swings and misses at a Mayer fastball, and it's 1-1. Woodpeckers are in the Alzheimer's Awareness jerseys today. It's our annual Alzheimer's Awareness ball game, and those jerseys will be auctioned off during the game and also on Woodpeckers social media online. And see a lot of purple throughout the crowd today. Some fans wearing jerseys that they've bid on and won on auction in the past or perhaps got during a giveaway through the gates. McCants looks at a fastball for a strike, and it's 1-2.
A couple of those hats as well we gave away in the
past.
Right. I still got mine.
Yeah, the purple hat. The 1-2 pitch. McCants shoots it straight back into the netting. Count stays at a ball and two strikes. Force everywhere, all bases for Mayer if he can get something on the ground. Tanner McDougal, the Kannapolis starter, waiting in the visiting dugout, hoping he can get a couple of early runs of support. Shortstop Holy near the middle, hovering behind the base runner. Here's the pitch. McCant strikes out swinging. Mayer goes right back to the fastball. Puts away McCants for out number one. And Bryce will toss aside that baseball and make sure they tuck it away for safekeeping. A memento to hang on to, his first professional strikeout, setting down McCants, who he perhaps faced a time or two in the SEC. Now here's Alec Makarevics, the switch-hitting cleanup hitter.
Big stretch of dangerous lefties. This 2 through 5 right now in the Kannapolis order. A lot of powerful left-handed bats.
First pitch to Makarevics, a slider that dips down and inside for a ball. It's 1-0. Ronny Hernandez is on deck. Ryan Burrows in the hole. Ballers with two on, one out. A walk and a hit by pitch starting the inning. Have Antonacci at second. Wolko down at first. The 1-0. Makarevics takes a fastball for a called strike. It is 1-1. Bryce Mayer grew up in Washington, Missouri. He got to play his college baseball for his home state SEC program, where he went 2-7 with a 6.58 ERA in his 1 year at Mizzou, 57 strikeouts and 23 walks, but he did not pitch all of last year. Those were his 2022 numbers. Didn't pitch all of last year due to injury. Did pitch during 2024. It was the 2023 season that he missed. And here's the 1-2 pitch. Makarevics takes down to the dirt, kicks off to the left of Bush. He fires down to third, and Antonacci slides in there safely. George Wolko not advancing on the throw. He ends up holding at first base, and they're at the corners now.
Missouri saw a lot of guys, a lot of pitchers selected in the later rounds of the 2024 draft. Ryan Magdick with the Oakland Athletics taking 406th overall. That was in the 14th round.
Two balls, two strikes on Makarevics. And that fastball runs in tight.
And then in the 15th round, it was Carter Rustad for Baltimore. So three consecutive rounds, Missouri getting a pitcher taken.
A 3-2 payoff pitch is shot foul off the facing of the visiting dugout, and it'll stay where it is on Makarevics. He's had a big week at the plate, 6-for-20. He has a hit in every game he's played in this week, and he's stretched out to a 12-game hitting streak, longest active on the Cannonballer Ball Club. A couple of doubles and five RBIs. Has a scoring chance here with that runners at the corners. Wolko breaking on the pitch and misses down and in outside. And it's another walk surrendered to the ballers. Second of the inning for Mayer. And the bases are loaded. Mentioned that pitch cap probably today on Mayer, and won't be surprised to see that Fayetteville bullpen activate here pretty quickly. And as we say that, Robbie Kellerman, Fayetteville bullpen catcher, throws the mask on, and he's going to pop into the crouch while a right-hander starts to warm. Bases loaded against Mayer, and here comes very contact-oriented Ronny Hernandez, 272 hitter on the year with a home run and 43 RBIs. First pitch to him, taken for a ball just outside at 94 miles an hour. There's good velocity today for Mayer. That has not been his problem. He's living in the mid-90s, but missing mostly outside with the fastball to lefties. The 1-0 pitch, and there's a correction, a fastball right down the middle for a called strike one.
He was one of the last guys you want to face with the bases loaded in this Kannapolis order. Ronny Hernandez just excels at getting on base. 386 OBP this year.
Yeah, more walks than strikeouts. He's 5-for-15 at the plate this week with four walks as well. Checks the swing, did not go, and the fastball just off target, low and away. There's four players in the starting lineup today for the Cannonballers that have five or more hits in the week. Antonacci, Wolko, Makarevics, and Ronny Hernandez. They've all had big series here at Segra Stadium. The two-ball, one-strike pitch. And he's late, swinging at a fastball. Mayer's starting to locate it a little better. That coming in at 95. Kannapolis opened the scoring yesterday. They're trying to do it again here in the top of the first inning. 25 pitches in for Mayer in his debut inning. They're loaded with one out. 2-2 to Hernandez. Down and inside. And he's worked a few full counts. Mayer hasn't been throwing a ball on every pitch here, losing guys on four-pitch walks, things of that nature. He's keeping these counts competitive, but can he win the full count battle? Something on the ground would be a dream right now to try and turn two. Infield shifted slightly to pull. Here's the 3-2 payoff, and Hernandez with a pop fly. This will drift out into shallow center field as Max Holy gets back. He battles the sun, makes the catch, and that's well too shallow for anybody to tag up. Runners stay where they are. And a key pop-out picked up by Mayer for out number two. The inning will come down to Ryan Burrows. See what that Fayetteville dugout wants to do with the bullpen activated. A right-hander continuing to warm. Will Bush going to go out to the mound to buy a little bit of extra time for the bullpen, but I think they'll let Mayer see at least one more hitter, albeit this could be his only inning tonight with his pitch count already at 27.
Finally got a chance to face a right-handed batter. Five lefties to open up this lineup for second-year manager Pat Leland. And it can be tough to face some of those lefties early on, try to feel your way through the zone as a first single-A outing. And we've seen guys struggle in the past in those first couple of outings. Mayer, if he can find a way to just get out of this inning unscathed, I think that would be a huge confidence boost.
Here's the sixth batter of the inning, Ryan Burrows, the Kannapolis shortstop. Into the right side with the bases loaded. No score in the top of the first. Burrows looks at strike one. 95-mile-per-hour fastball. Burrows on the week, 1-for-15. He's found a way to drive home three runs, though, just with sacrifice flies. Seven strikeouts as well, though, so a lot of swing and miss on the week. The 0-1 pitch. Burrows takes just low and outside. One and one on the Panama City Panama native. Burrows, an international signing by the White Sox in 2022. Mayer from the belt throws the 1-1. Gets a swing and miss. He's a strike away from escaping the first with no damage. Inning started with a walk and a hit batter. Picked up the strikeout of McCants. Walked Makarevics. Pop out from Rony Hernandez. And now a 1-2 count on Burrows. 30 pitches in, Mayer trying to escape the damage. Here he comes, down the hill, and misses up and outside with a fastball. It is 2-2. He's almost completely ditched the off-speed stuff at this point. Pretty much all heat coming in from former Mizzou pitcher. Two balls, two strikes with two outs. Runners take their leads, and the pitch misses down and outside, fills it up. Another full count. Worked by a cannonballer batter.
Another fastball as well, so wouldn't be shocked if Burrows sits on that pitch and kind of have a better idea as to what to swing at, what to let go.
It's been all fastball, five straight in this at bat. See if Mayer wants to go off speed with the bases jammed. They're all going. Burrows with a swing and a deep fly out into center field. Spence angling back all the way onto the warning track, and he makes the catch just feet shy of the wall. So it was a long, laborious debut inning for Bryce Mayer, but he gets out of it with a zero and strands three cannonballers aboard as we go to the bottom of the first inning on Alzheimer's Awareness Night. Fayetteville steps to the plate when we come back on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
It's Bunker! Bunker's riding around the stadium. Bunker has somebody in tow. Make some noise for Bunker. Fans, do you want free tacos? Well, here's your chance. If the Woodpeckers score six runs tonight, all fans in attendance will receive free tacos courtesy of our friends at El Cazador. Say, we want tacos with me on three. One, two, three.
the mound for the Cannonballers, Tanner McDougal. Leading off the bottom of the first inning for the Woodpeckers, the center fielder, number 29, Lucas Spence.
Bryce Mayer avoids any damage in the top of the first inning. He strands the bases loaded and turns it over to his lineup. Lucas Spence leads it off tonight for the Woodpeckers and takes strike one from the righty Tanner McDougal, tonight's Kannapolis starter, the former fifth-round pick out of Silverado High School in Las Vegas, Nevada. Going back to the 2021 draft, McDougal misses low to Spence on a curve, and it's one ball and one strike. Spence 5 for 18 on the series with a triple and three walks as well. He takes low with the fastball, and it's two balls and a strike as he gets ahead. Joseph Sullivan and Hansel Villarreal will also bat in this first inning. Trevor Austin, Caden Powell, Cesar Hernandez, the middle three, followed by Naomar Ochoa Jr., Max Holy, and Will Bush. Outside changeup, 3-1 on Spence. McDougal is on the year, 0-3 with a 4.50 ERA. He pitched primarily, though, at the high A level, Winston-Salem, where he struggled. Misses outside to Spence and gives up the five-pitch walk to the Woodpecker leadoff man. Here comes Joseph Sullivan. McDougal, he had an 0-8 record with the Winston-Salem Dash, not too far from here. He worked a 6.85 ERA over 16 games, all starts, and the walks were a problem for him. 44 free passes over 65 and two-thirds innings, also 80 strikeouts. Here's a ground ball backhanded by Makarevics. His throw goes to second for one. The return throw to first is not in time. McDougal sprinted over to cover the first base bag, with Sullivan and his speed able to break up the potential double play. It'll go as a fielder's choice. One out for Hansel Villarreal and a man at first. As Villarreal stands in, let's work around the defense behind McDougal.
Yep, Makarevic's over at first today. Sam Antonacci, the second baseman. Ryan Burrows at short. And Arxi Hernandez at third. Left to right in the outfield, TJ McCants, Nathan Archer, George Wolko, and Luis Pineda makes his series debut. He's behind the plate.
Tip foul into the glove, and Villarreal behind nothing and one. The Ballers are in their road blues today with the blue uniform, Ballers in the white cursive out across the chest and the red numerals on the back of the jersey. Long pause for McDougal. His pitch is tipped foul into the glove again. And it's quickly 0-2 on Villarreal. Last played on Friday night, and he was substituted out of the game during the seventh inning for Jason Schiavone. Got the day off yesterday, and Villarreal returns to the lineup tonight, batting 270 on the year with two home runs, 27 RBIs. He gets under a high fastball and lofts it out into left field for McCants. He comes together with his center fielder, makes the catch from left field, and there's two gone in the inning for Trevor Austin. A red belt, gray pants for the Ballers. The blue ball cap today with the red bill and the Cannonballer logo on the front of the cap. That Cannonballer logo is a unique one. It's got the guy getting blasted out of a cannon. He's got a big baseball for a head and a mustache that is emblematic of Dale Earnhardt's old mustache, and a tip of the cap to the former name of this franchise, the Kannapolis Intimidators, named after the nickname of the famous NASCAR driver. And a pop fly foul out of play, Trevor Austin in a 1-1 count.
The Cup Series running yesterday at a place near and dear to Earnhardt's heart, Daytona. Of course, had that big 500 victory after 20 years in 1998.
Here's the 1-1 to Austin, and he shoots it foul straight back over the netting. Trevor looking healthy after he fouled that pitch off the inside of his left calf in Augusta. He missed the first two games of this series with a big bruise on the calf. Still didn't look like he was running 100% when he returned to the lineup on Friday. But progressively getting better over time, he smashes a line drive over the glove of Burrows and out into left field. A ringing single for Trevor Austin. Extends the first inning, gets it to Caden Powell with two on, and boy, Trevor Austin just continues to hit. His 11th game as a pro, comes in batting 350 over his first 10. And the Mizzou Tigers taking over the Fayetteville Woodpeckers with Mayer on the mound tonight. Trevor Austin in the heart of the lineup. Caden Powell stands in now with two on, two out. Force at all bases for McDougal. Look down to second. Here's the first pitch. And a fastball for a strike to Powell. Nothing in one.
It's really good to see all these batting averages for the new guys up over 300 to Austin near 400, 313 for Caden Powell. And even the guys that are a little bit lower in that category, very high OPSs.
A step and a pump fake over to first base. That's a balk. McDougal balks. And the runners will get to advance. First baseman Makarevic was nowhere close to the bag. And you can step off towards the back of the mound, step off the rubber and pump fake a throw, but what you can't do is pivot as he did on the rubber and pump fake a throw. That's a balk. You have to let it go.
Yep.
Here's the pitch to Powell, and it misses down and inside, 1-1.
My favorite move used to be the bluff to third, throw to first, but they've outlawed that for a number of years now.
Yeah, cut down on that as well. That was a signature move when I was playing high school baseball.
Yep.
Here's the 1-1 pitch. And a high chopper hit out to short. Burrows got backed up on it, feels from his heels, and throws long to first in time to retire Powell and end the inning. Both sides ran multiple base runners in the first inning. We remain scoreless going to the second from Segra Stadium.
Fans, make your way to the team store to purchase your 2024 Woodpecker card set. All right, fans, it's time for the Hug Cam, presented by Snapchat. Let me see you hug it out. Hug long, hug strong.
El mundo nos quiere, me quiere a mí. Toda mi gente se mueve, mira el ritmo como los tiene. Hago música que entretiene, mi música los tiene fuerte bailando y se baila así. La fiesta no para, apenas comienza. C'est comme ça, c'est comme ça. Ma chérie, la la la.
Thanks, fans. That was the Hug Cam presented by Snapchat. Less likes, more love, more Snapchat. Fans, this Woodpecker's call to the bullpen is being brought to you by Black's Tire and Auto Services. Now pitching for the Woodpeckers, number 43, Pedro Marquez.
Well, after a long first inning in the debut of Bryce Mayer, Fayetteville's forced to go to the pen to start the second. When it's time for a change, it's time to go to Black's Tire and Auto. Enter on 22-year-old right-hander Pedro Marquez, and his very first pitch of the day is lined into straightaway center field for a leadoff single. It is Arxi Hernandez getting the top of the second inning started with a base hit, and the ballers quickly have a runner on base. Against Marquez, the Barcelona, Venezuela native, a recent addition into the Woodpeckers rotation back on August 13th. He spent the majority of his summer pitching for the Florida Complex League Astros, 5 games, 1 start, and a 4.32 ERA. Over his time with Fayetteville so far, he has given up 8 earned runs over 6 1/3 innings on 8 total hits, 8 walks as well, and 6 strikeouts. He gets a swing and miss on a high fastball from to Luis Pineda. And here's the next offering. Down to the dirt. And a sliding stop by Will Bush. That one caught him somewhere flush in the midsection. And he'll take a moment to feel that one out as Jared Neal dusts off the plate. So no ERA damage for Bryce Mayer in his debut today. Although didn't go into the second inning as initially planned. Mayer goes 1 inning, no hits allowed, no earned runs, 2 walks, a hit batter, and 1 strikeout. He was able to get out of the bases loaded jam with a fly out to center from Ryan Burrows. The velocity looked good. There was at least that for Mayer today. He was hovering around 94, 95 miles an hour and primarily just using that fastball. 2-1 pitch. Pineda goes after another one up high. And he's overextended outside of the zone twice now. Two balls and two strikes on the Kannapolis catcher. Pineda, the third catcher on the roster behind Rony Hernandez and Jackson Appel, and this is the first game of game action he has seen all week. So first at bat here in Fayetteville. The 2-2 runs outside, a slider. Pineda batting 236 on the season with five home runs and 29 RBIs. An even 300 on base percentage as well. 62 hits, 24 total walks. The 3-2 payoff. Grounded, out to second, could be two. Austin has it, shovels to Holy. The turn to first, 4-6-3, twin killing. Taylor made for the middle infield. Austin and Holy were pinching, that's why you stand there. And Marquez quickly with two outs in the top of the second. Bases empty for the nine-hitter Nathan Archer.
Chemistry that Holy and Austin have developed over the past couple of weeks is sublime. I mean, every single time they're in the perfect spot to turn any sort of double play. Really strong defensive first couple of weeks for that, too.
Marquez puts a first pitch fastball right down the middle for strike one to Archer. Nathan Archer, the LaGrange, Ohio native, 222 hitter, no home runs and two RBIs. Here's the pitch, and it sails very high all the way over Bush's glove and to the backstop. Archer selected by Bowling Green, by the White Sox, out of Bowling Green, should say, in the 12th round of this year's MLB draft. Here's the wind and the 1-1 pitch. It slipped and missed upstairs. 2-1. Infield shaded to pull. Powell is off the third baseline and closer to short. Archer with a low liner out into center field. And the Cannonballers pick up their second hit of the inning. Both on live drives to center. Hernandez and Archer coming up with base hits. Second Kannapolis hit, first time through the order as well. Mayer did not give up a knock in the first. So Archer is aboard, stretching the top of the second inning to the top of the lineup card. Here's Sam Antonacci for a second time.
Him and Antonacci, Archer that is, have kind of swapped spots at the leadoff spot and the ninth spot. You almost have two leadoff hitters if you're Pat Leland.
Runner goes on the first pitch. It's a high one. Bush's throw down, not in time. And Archer into second with a head-first dive. He has a stolen base. Cannonballers are going to come away with the upper hand in this year's series season head-to-head. Chance to grab a 13th win against the Woodpeckers today. They'll win the series if they do. 12-5, their record against the Woodpeckers this season. This pitch came inside and actually grazed Antonacci on the way by a slider that just barely nicked his elbow guard. Jared Neal was on top of it behind the plate, quickly ruled it dead and grants Antonacci first base, second hit batter today in as many innings. And here's the guy who was plunked in his first at bat, George Wolko.
That's the last thing you want to do is put another runner on base for Wolko. So Marquez going to have to tread very carefully here. We've seen a lot of fastballs that Wolko's taken into the outfield, but even on breaking stuff, you leave it up, he will make you pay.
So after the double play, Kannapolis has two aboard. Wolko looks at the first pitch low and outside for ball one. Cannonballers, as we mentioned, have the big season series edge over the Woodpeckers. And this will be the final game between these two ball clubs until at least 2026 when we eventually see the makeup of that schedule. Wolko hops it foul off to the right. Woodpeckers moving to the North Division next year. Kannapolis staying in the South. And there are no matchups on the 2025 docket, home or on the road.
Which is a shame because I love going to Kannapolis. One of my favorite road trips to make every year, and we usually make it multiple times a year. And certainly Atrium Health Ballpark, a facility that draws a lot of parallels to Segra Stadium, but a great place to watch a game.
Yep. Here comes the 1-1 pitch, and it's a little bit high to Wolko. Yeah, the great thing about Kannapolis is it's just a downtown that's really flourishing ever since they built that ballpark down there. It feels like every time we take a trip out to see our friends at Atrium Health Ballpark. There's a new business popping up, or a new restaurant, new coffee shop, whatever it might be. A great little trip in the Carolina League. 2-1, bounced along the first baseline, fielded even with the bag by Villarreal. He takes it there himself, and the inning's over. So Marquez allowed the inning to stretch out a little bit, but he strands a couple. Kannapolis has left five on over two scoreless innings, and we move to the home half. Nothing, nothing. Woodpeckers and Cannonballers on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Take a look at the video board. These two lucky fans are sitting in the coolest seats in the house. Hey, you won a tumbler courtesy of Blanton's. Call Blanton's for all your air conditioning, plumbing, and electrical needs. Show us those tumblers. Oh, you're so cool. All right. You never take advice. Someday you'll pay the price. I know. I've seen it before. It happens all the time. You're closing the door. You leave the world behind. You're digging for gold. You're throwing away a fortune and feelings. But someday you'll pay.
Back on the mound for the Cannonballers, Tanner McDougal. Leading off the bottom of the second inning for the Woodpeckers, the third baseman, number 13, Caden Power.
Cesar Hernandez leads off the bottom of the second inning, and he takes a fastball a little bit low for ball one from Tanner McDougal in his second inning of work. In the bottom of the first, the Woodpeckers left runners at the corners after a fielder's choice and Trevor Austin's single. In the second, it'll be Cesar Hernandez, Naomar Ochoa Jr., and Max Holy. Here's the pitch, and he drives it deep into center field for Archer. He drifts back just short of the warning track and makes a striding shoulder-high grab for out number one. So one away for Naomar Ochoa Jr. Tanner McDougal, as we mentioned, started his season at the high A level, back down to single A, where he was a Cannonballer for all of 2023. Used to seeing him in a baller's uniform, 21 games last year, and he had solid numbers at this level, 4.15 ERA over just shy of 70 innings. And for McDougal, the plan has to be to just iron out some kinks, make some adjustments back down at this level, and then try and start the 2025 season back up at the high A rank, or potentially up to double A, whatever the White Sox have in mind. Foul straight back by Ochoa, and it's one ball and one strike.
Good news is the travel isn't too bad across affiliates. You got three of them right here in the state of North Carolina, the other in Alabama.
Here's the 1-0, and this runs up and inside and got something. Did it get the batter? Did it hit Ochoa? Home plate umpire Jared Neal says it got him on the wrist. Somewhere on the hand area, Ochoa able to unbuckle the gear, but we'll walk up that first baseline and get a checkup from Fayetteville athletic trainer Lawrence Vanderzond. And he quickly says he's all right, heads to first, and we've seen three batters hit by pitches already in this game. Two on the Kannapolis side, Antonacci and Wolko. And now Ochoa gets hit in a vulnerable spot. The runner at first for Max Holy. First pitch to Max, taken for strike one. Holy 3-for-14 in this series. Comes in batting 179 over the start of his pro career. Does have a hit in three of his last four games, however. And there's a breaking ball that tumbles in for a strike. It's nothing and two. No score early on. Kannapolis has left five runners aboard over two innings. Woodpeckers stranded a pair in the bottom of the first. McDougal ahead, nothing and two. Works out of the stretch. His pitch a little bit high. One ball and two strikes on Holy. Video board said 100 miles an hour on that pitch, but I think the radar gun needs the tuning fork a little bit. I think it's a little bit hot today. High and in on Holy. Two balls and two strikes. Back to level.
I usually see that around 97, 98, but it always fluctuates as far as if it's reading a little slow or reading a little hot.
Middle infield pinching, double play depth, though Cho is on the move. Holy swings away and slices a fly ball foul out towards the landing deck. And Ochoa, after breaking for second, will have to take the jog and return to first base. Fayetteville offense tied for fifth in the Carolina League entering today in total batting average. Fifth in runs scored as well, right in the middle of the pack in home runs. Holy swings and fouls it straight back. And the second half, though, these have been a couple of the best offenses league-wide. Annapolis obviously set into playing postseason baseball come middle of September. Woodpeckers hoping their lineup can help give them a late push in the division. 2-2 draws a check swing, and no need for the appeal. Jared Neal rings up Holy. Pitch might have been in the zone anyways, and strike three on Max out number two, and brings up the Fayetteville nine-hitter Will Bush.
Dougal, we're seeing some good action on his pitches. Of course, the fastball velocity's up there, the breaking ball moving as well. I think the name of the game is just a little bit more consistency with his command, and you know the upside is pretty tremendous for a guy taken out of high school a few years back.
Bush pops the first pitch up, hovering around the home plate area. Pineda dancing around. His first baseman comes all the way forward to help out, and Makarevic's makes the catch that ends the inning. Ochoa left it first after he was hit by a pitch. The Woodpeckers go scoreless. It's nothing-nothing through two tonight on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. We're back in a moment.
Time for T-shirts. Get on your feet and get loud for the Brian Honda T-shirt toss.
Don't forget kids run the bases and catching the outfield post-game. Stick around after the final out for some Sunday fun. Back on the mound for the Woodpeckers, Pedro Marquez.
No score after two innings on this Sunday evening. Woodpeckers and Cannonballers. Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. TJ McCants leads it off, and before the inning starts, a pitch clock violation is assessed against the batter McCants. Wasn't set and ready to go by the 8-second mark, and it's 1-0 on the automatic ball. And to take it through the action now, let's send it over to Colin Casey.
Thank you so much, Chappie. Marquez with an airmailed breaking ball that goes all the way to the backstop to even things up. McCants struck out swinging in his lone trip against Bryce Mayer, who goes an inning in his debut. Former Missouri Tiger, two walks, did hit a batter, one strikeout, but escaped a bases-loaded jam. We remain scoreless in this third inning. Fastball misses high on McCants. Two balls and a strike now on a former University of Alabama standout. 2-1. Fastball misses upstairs. McCants had a huge day earlier this year with Bama. That was on March 19th against Alabama State in that rivalry. Hit three home runs in the contest to lead Alabama to a victory. 3-1 fastball is high, and McCants draws a five-pitch walk. Leadoff man aboard for the Ballers to begin this third inning. Bring up Alec Makarevics. Makarevics drew a walk in his first AB, not an official at-bat, of course. Infield moves double play depth for Fayetteville. They've already turned one double play so far. First pitch from Marquez, fastball knee high. It's 0-1. Battle of the Chicago White Sox affiliate and the Houston Astros affiliate. Of course, coming up on the 20-year anniversary when those two teams met in the World Series back in 2005. 0-1, McCants going, and Makarevics pops one up left side of the infield. McCants rushing back to first. The third baseman, Powell, can't make the catch. Picking it up, Marquez, and he'll just lob it to second base for the force out. So Caden Powell unable to come up with a pop-up, but McCants forced to go back to first and tag up. Woodpeckers able to get the out regardless. It'll be a fielder's choice for Makarevics. Of course, still a sunny day here in downtown Fayetteville, so the sun not quite set, setting towards the left over by the third base side. So Powell still looking up into the brightness. Might have lost it the last second. First pitch to Rony Hernandez misses low. And he will not be charged with an error either because the Woodpeckers recorded an out on the play. Hernandez popped out to short in his first at-bat. Pitch misses down and outside. I mentioned that 0-5 World Series. Chicago White Sox coming away victorious for over Houston. It would be 12 years later where the Astros, after moving to the American League and being in the same league as Chicago, that they would win their first World Series in franchise history against the Los Angeles Dodgers. Hernandez swings away and another pop-up heads into shallow left center field. Max Holy underneath it and in almost the exact spot that he caught the first pop-up from Hernandez, he records the second out. Two away, Makarevic still at first, and Ryan Burrows the batter. And Houston and Chicago on complete opposite ends of the spectrum this season. Houston Astros currently atop the AL West, few games ahead of Seattle, trying to win the division once again. Ground ball left side, just past third base coach and manager Pat Leland. It's 0-1. Meanwhile, the Chicago White Sox earlier today dropped their 100th game of the season already. And that year cannot end soon enough for White Sox fans.
Yeah, they've had the type of year where you start to get looped in with those 1899 Cleveland Spiders who set the baseball loss record. It's been a tough year in Chicago.
Burrows takes the 0-1 up and outside, gets by Bush, who recovers quickly on the ricochet, but before he can get a throw down, Makarevic slides safely into second. It's a wild pitch against Marquez. Of course, the Astros not too long ago were in the shoes of the White Sox. You go back about 12, 13 years ago, late 2000s, early 2010s, a lot of seasons where they found themselves with the worst record in all of Major League Baseball, but of course, a lot of top draft picks ultimately led to a resurgence for the Astros, which has culminated in a pair of World Series titles within the last 8 years. Burrows fouls it back. The count now 1-2 on him. Carlos Correa, top draft pick. Alex Bregman, second overall pick, to name a couple. Runner leads off of second. The 1-2 misses outside again. Perhaps a third title in the works for the Astros this year. Again, good spot to perhaps pick up the 3 seed out of 6 teams in the playoffs and have home field advantage for a wild card series. 2-2 is cut on and missed. Burrows can't come up with it. Pedro Marquez picks up his first strikeout of the outing and strands another runner in scoring position. Kannapolis has left six runners on base. Through three innings, we go to the bottom of the third. Scoreless from Segra on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
We'd like to say thanks to all of our groups in attendance tonight. Take a look at the big board. When you see your name, make some noise and let us know where you're sitting. We'd also like to give a special shout out to everyone celebrating their birthday with us tonight. Happy birthday from the Woodpeckers. Every day we choose, we might win or lose. This is the dangerous life. Hey, 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 every day when I wake. Back on the mound for the Cannonball is Tanner McDougal. Leading off the bottom of the third inning for the Woodpeckers, this center fielder, number 29, Lucas Spence.
We're scoreless through 2.5 innings at Segra Stadium. Offenses have been slow out of the gates for the first time really all week between these two teams. Woodpeckers looking to strike first in the bottom of the third inning as leadoff man Lucas Spence with a 1-0 count on Tanner McDougal. Fifth round pick delivers and Spence fouls it over the press box. Lucas drew a walk against McDougal his first time up, but was quickly dispatched on a fielder's choice after Joseph Sullivan hit a ground ball up along first. 1-1, late decision to swing from Spence, and he comes up empty. Another picture-perfect day here at Segra Stadium. Wrapping up the penultimate home series for the Woodpeckers. They go on the road next week against Charleston, come back home for the final week of the season to wrap up against the Myrtle Beach Pelicans. 1-2 fastball misses outside. The Woodpeckers will also begin the 2025 season at Segra Stadium. They will play three games against the Lynchburg Hillcats, their new division rival. A lot of games against the Hillcats in the first half of the season, 15 of them in fact. 2-2 is chopped foul by Spence. Top of the order here for Fayetteville, Spence, Sullivan, Villarroel. McDougal with one strikeout already, looking for number two, the 2-2. And Spence with a chopper up along first, battling the sun briefly, Makarevics, but he plays it in between hops, steps on the bag, and the ballers quickly pick up the first out of the third. Three unassisted, brings up Sullivan. One Makarevics' way his first time around. Birmingham, Alabama native. Going to give Fayetteville perhaps their second hit of the game. Breaking ball misses out, catches the outside corner. Trevor Austin, the lone hit so far, a single in the left center back in the first inning. McDougal with the 0-1 foul back into the netting. Of course, Birmingham, the home of the AA affiliate for the Chicago White Sox, the Barons. Famously the team that Michael Jordan played for during his sabbatical from basketball. Breaking ball, called a strike, and down goes Sullivan. Second strikeout for McDougal, two up, two down here in the bottom of the third. Selvia Royale steps to the plate. I have to imagine how different things would have been for the Chicago Bulls had Jordan played those two seasons that he was off. Of course, the Houston Rockets would take home the NBA Finals those 2 years. Villarroel takes a breaking ball outside. two titles for Hakeem Olajuwon. Won one of those titles over the Bulls. 1-0 is a fastball popped up and out of play.
He probably told a couple of his minor league teammates during that two-year sabbatical, yeah, I'm thinking about going back to basketball. Kept it under wraps, and then the infamous press release.
He's back. Breaking ball misses upstairs.
That must have been absolutely wild, though. You're just a minor league guy trying to make it. Maybe played a couple years in college, and suddenly here comes Michael Jordan inside of your double-A clubhouse.
1-1, Villarroel on the ground over to short. Burroughs scoops it up, throw to Makarevic in time. It's a 1-2-3 inning for Tanner McDougal, who has set down five in a row going back to the second. We've played three full from Segra Stadium, still looking for a run on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
It's time for the Coldwell Banker Advantage Kiss Cam. Kiss Cam. Kiss Cam.
This is the Kiss Cam. Kiss Cam. Kiss Cam. There you go. Kiss Cam. Kiss Cam. Kiss Cam. So we planned it all out for the minute. Kiss Cam. To the honeymoon and your mama cried. Kiss Cam. When the preacher man said, say I do, I did. And you did too. Then I Kiss Cam. Saw your pretty smile. And I said, Kiss Cam. Kiss Cam. Are we gonna do this or why? Look at all the love that we got. Back on the mound for the Woodpeckers, Pedro Marquez.
Leading off the top of the fourth inning for the Cannonballers, the third baseman, number 33, Arxi Hernandez.
Arxi Hernandez steps in for Kannapolis to begin the fourth inning. No score between the Ballers and the Peckers. Pedro Marquez threw two scoreless innings in relief. Look to keep the ball rolling against Hernandez. 7-8-9 due up for Kannapolis. First pitch breaking ball down in the dirt for ball one. Hernandez singled his first time up. That was against Marquez. Welcomed him to the ball game. The sharply hit single into center field. The 1-0 is another hard hit ball, and this one finds its way into center. So Arxi Hernandez has had Pedro Marquez solved so far. Two at-bats, two singles, another leadoff hit to begin this fourth.
Yeah, just a lot of line drive contact going right up the middle of the diamond. If the Woodpeckers want to try and adjust where they're placing their middle infielders today, because they're living kind of dead center. And Cannonballers have had a ton of opportunities to bring him around, but they've left every base runner aboard so far.
With that, Hernandez now with 90 hits on the season, including his two today. Fastball to Pineda, misses up and outside. Another guy who just has been in the lineup all year and steadily produced for this Ballers lineup that leads the Carolina League in batting average at .251. Pitch in the dirt, Hernandez caught leaning a little bit off of first base. The throw down from Bush, though, not in time. Hernandez not a huge threat to run either. Just four stolen bases this year. Has not been caught yet. Playing in his 102nd game. Righty against righty. Pitch to Pineda. Is a fastball up and outside. Luis Pineda grounded into a double play. That quickly sent Hernandez back to the dugout, 4-6-3. Middle infielders Holy and Austin pinching once again towards the bag. Pitch is up and outside, and that is ball four. So a single and a walk for the 7 and 8 hitters. Put two on and nobody out for the ballers. Nathan Archer, who singled his first time against Marquez. Golden opportunity to allow the Cannonballers to strike for first blood here. For Marquez, that is his second walk surrendered. He has also hit a batter. The Ohio native Archer awaits the first pitch. Takes a fastball just below the knees. Archer came up with an RBI double in that big sixth inning last night for Kannapolis. Three-run six that helped put the game away. 5-1 victory for the Ballers, their third straight. The 1-0. Check swing, and Archer kept the bat back. His college ball at Bowling Green, selected in the 12th round by Chicago this summer. 2-0 well inside, and Marquez has been all over the place since the single from Hernandez. Seven straight balls. It is 3-0. Leadoff man Sam Antonacci, who has not been retired yet, is on deck. A look over at second, the 3-0. Misses outside, ball four. Things starting to spiral out of control for Pedro Marquez on the mound. Single, walk, walk. Bases loaded, nobody out for Antonacci before he gets a chance. Zach Wilkins, the pitching coach, makes the trot out to the mound.
Yeah, this game has some similar feel to, I believe it was, the series opener when there was a combined 20 walks. Fayetteville gave up a ton early on. Kannapolis wasn't able to capitalize early, but kind of setting the stage for these guys, and you're getting towards the top of their order now with some heavy hitters. And these Ballers, they've won a number of games during this season head-to-head by just really coming up with one big swing, bases jam, bring home a couple runs at a time, and Marquez has to avoid now serving one up.
Kannapolis had the bases loaded with one out back in the first inning. They did not score. Debuting Bryce Mayer got a pop out and a fly out from Ronnie Hernandez and Ryan Burrows to get out of the jam. But now with nobody out and the top third of the Ballers order coming up, this feels like a near impossible task for Marquez to get out unscathed. We'll see what he can do. Antonacci a walk and a hit by pitch so far tonight. The lefty awaits the first pitch from Marquez, and that pitch comes in and hits the front foot. So just like that, Antonacci drives in a run by being plunked in that foot. Coming in to score, Arxi Hernandez, and that's the way the score opens. Kannapolis leads 1-0. Certainly not ideal.
Well, he's trying to go with the breaking ball down to maybe induce some contact to his infield, trying to turn a double play, which the Woodpeckers have done once already today, but just kept on moving too far inside. Here's Wolko, who's also been plunked.
The man who's basically been the Grim Reaper for Fayetteville over the last couple of weeks. Hits one on the ground to second. Could be two. Throw to Holy for one. Back to first, not in time. Wolko runs well for a man his size and legs out the fielder's choice. He'll pick up another RBI in what's been a plentifully run-scoring week for George Wolko. In to score Luis Pineda, the lead doubled for Kannapolis, 2-0.
Here's another look at that hit by pitch, just barely grazed him on the outside of the toe. That's all it takes. And for George Wolko, I think he'll take an RBI fielder's choice compared to the alternative, which is a grand slam.
And Wolko on the move, and he will head into second with a stolen base. No throw from Bush. So two now in scoring position, a 2-0 lead for Kannapolis, and T.J. McCants with a 1-0 count. One out in the inning, the Woodpeckers will bring the infield in. McCants 0-for-1 with a walk and a strikeout. Marquez, the delivery, fastball up and outside. A little bit of stirring going on in that home bullpen. Doesn't appear to be any throwing to this point. Hope for that Woodpeckers dugout as Marquez can find a way out of this jam and keep things going. Big swing from McCants. Foul tips it off the mitt of Bush. McCants started all 56 games this past spring as the everyday center fielder for the Alabama Crimson Tide. Let's go. 2-1 is taken outside. Did not spend all of his career, though, at Alabama. He was actually at a conference rival for his first three seasons of college ball. Played for the Ole Miss Rebels. At the transfer portal in college baseball these days, you get a lot of those stories where guys will stay in the conference but play for another program. 3-1, way outside, goes all the way to the backstop, and smartly staying put at third base is Archer. That is ball four, so McCants draws the third walk of the inning to go along with a hit batter. Pedro Marquez will have the bases loaded once again. Still only one out, and the Kannapolis cleanup man, Alec Makarevics, making his way to the plate.
It was a good reaction by Nathan Archer. He's probably been briefed by his manager, Pat Leland. Hey, wait for that ricochet off of the net. Pat's been in town many times over the last couple of years, and some of his new players going to need to know about how that net reacts with the baseball.
Makarevics to the plate, swings at the first pitch, grounds it right side into right field. Archer scores, coming around from second. Wolko, he's in. Over to third goes McCants, a two-run single. And what's been a dream week for Alec Makarevics at the plate, doubles the lead once again for Kannapolis. It's now 4-0. Makarevics feels like he's had RBIs in every single game this week. Didn't have one on Friday night, but still had a big double. Drove in a couple of runs back on Thursday, another on Wednesday, and another on Tuesday. A lot of circles next to his name in the scorebook. First pitch to Rony Hernandez, misses outside. Hernandez the eighth man to bat in the inning, as things have quickly unraveled for Pedro Marquez and Fayetteville Woodpeckers in this so far four-run top of the fourth. Still only one out in the inning, the 1-0. Breaking ball misses down and in.
And Makarevics extends that hit streak as well. 13 straight games with a hit for Makarevics, and that's one of the longest that we've seen in the league this year.
Makarevics on the move, fly ball, shallow left field for Hernandez, long run for Cesar Hernandez. He makes the catch, McCants tags but bluffs, throw in, tempted to be cut off by Powell, glanced off his glove, Bush backs it up, no advance. So a much needed second out on a sinking fly ball out to left field. Rony Hernandez now 0-for-3. And Ryan Burrows, who ended the third, will get an opportunity now in the fourth. Burrows 0-for-2 so far, a flyout and a strikeout. Marquez punched him out to end that third inning. Stranded a runner at second base. That was Makarevics, who's now over at first with McCants at third. And Makarevics, the throw down. Makarevics caught in between first and second. McCants does come in to score, and the Woodpeckers didn't even look that direction. They're in a rundown with Makarevics. The tag finally applied by Holy, and that ends the inning. So I guess the Woodpeckers would rather concede the run and just get out of the jam, but Kannapolis closes the top of the fourth with a five-run frame. We go to the bottom half. Kannapolis in front 5-0 on the Woodpeckers broadcast network.
The fourth inning. Woodpecker fans, it's time for contest number two, the Village Family Dental Trike Race. Let's head down to the field with Dom. Take it away, Dom.
Thanks, Ray. All right, it's the Village Family Dental Trike Race. We've got Colton, Carson, and my favorite, Dominic Racing, to be the champion of the trike race. You guys, let's make some noise for these three guys. Are you guys ready? 3, 2, 1, let's go. Oh, Dominique, you got to do better. It's our namesake. Colton looks like picked first place. Come on, Dom. Let's do it, Dom. Hey, And we've got our runner for the Village Family Dental Trike Race. Make sure to visit Village Family Dental, where there's 8 locations for you. Back to you, Ray.
Village Family Dental has 9 convenient locations to serve you, with a new location in Hope Mills. Because when it comes to your smile, they're giving you more reasons to cheer. Back on the mound for the Cannonballers, Tanner McDougal. Leading off the bottom of the fourth inning for the Woodpeckers.
Now the Woodpeckers have quite the mountain to climb after a 5-run top of the fourth inning for Kannapolis. Fayetteville now trails 5-0 to the Ballers. Trevor Austin swings at the first pitch delivered from Tanner McDougal, and Austin grounds it into left field. He's got a multi-hit game. 2 at-bats, 2 singles for the former Mizzou Tiger. Been about as consistent as it gets in this Fayetteville lineup, and he now has his 6th multi-hit game in 11 games played for the Woodpeckers. He'll take a lead off of first base, Caden Powell to follow, and Powell swings and misses at a breaking ball popped out of the mitt of Pineda. 0-1. Austin with the only 2 hits so far for the Woodpeckers lineup against McDougal. Kannapolis striking for 5 runs on 2 hits, sending 8 men to the plate in the top of the fourth inning. Curveball from Powell, to Powell, 6th round pick, takes strike 2. Grounded out to short to end a scoring threat in the first inning. Fayetteville had a couple of runners on but could not pick up a run against McDougal. Powell with 15 hits so far in his professional career. Gets the 2-strike pitch, comes inside, and that nearly got a piece of Caden. Dougal has already hit 1 batter. That's Ochoa in the second inning. Woodpeckers as a team have hit 3 Kannapolis Cannonballers through 4 innings. Austin leads off of first. Long pause for McDougal, the 1-2. A late swing and a miss, and Powell can't catch up to the fastball, registering at 100 on the video board. So McDougal starting to crank up the heat as his outing goes on. He picks up his 3rd strikeout. 1 away, Cesar Hernandez stepping to the plate. And for McDougal, if he can keep the pitch count down, get through 5 innings with this pretty substantial lead so far, he might be in line to finally pick up his first victory of the season. Cesar Hernandez cracks the first pitch sharply into right field. Wilco plays it on a hop. That's the 2nd hit of the inning for the Woodpeckers. Trevor Austin advances to 2nd, and now Fayetteville starting to threaten in this 4th inning.
Well, Cesar Hernandez has really finished his season strong. Big on-base percentage in August. Nearly 380 in the month, so he's just been finding ways to get on. He's been more selective with his pitches, and I just think his contact has really elevated as well. Just the exit velos, the numbers he's putting up, all increasing.
Neomar Ochoa Jr. bats with runners at 1st and 2nd and 1 out. Takes a curveball in for a strike. Took one off the elbow guard in his first at-bat against McDougal. Baller starter comes set. His 0-1 is a fastball that sails a bit outside. McDougal's father, Mike, former minor leaguer as well, made it as high as AAA Rochester. So McDougal hoping to follow in his father's footsteps and eventually crack into the big leagues. For the 1-1, the right-hander steps off. Drafted out of high school in 2021, so still on the younger side. Making his 5th appearance of the season in single A. Ochoa fouls it into the screen. That was the 51st pitch of the evening for McDougal. Five runs on 4 hits for Kannapolis, no errors. No runs on 3 hits, no errors for Fayetteville. 1-2 down in the dirt. Pineda with a nice stop. Both runners to big secondaries, but Hernandez back to first and Austin back into second. Some of the shadows starting to creep onto the infield. You've got the shadow from the light pole that's going right across the front of the mound. Might cause some issues for the batter picking up that pitch out of McDougal's hand. On top of that, you also have the shadow from the press box making its way towards home plate. 2-2, breaking ball misses down and outside. Catcher Pineda and home plate umpire Jared Neal in darkness, but Naomar Ochoa Jr. swinging the bat in sunlight. See if Ricky Rivera wants to get aggressive with two on, one out, and a 3-2 count. Pitch to Ochoa. Fastball, check swing, and Naomar kept the bat back. He draws a walk. Second walk surrendered by McDougal. They're all loaded up. And Max Holley will look to see if he can get the Woodpeckers on the board. They trail 5-0.
A lot of traffic on the bases today for both lineups. And you find yourself down five runs. You know, it's early in a game, but these are the opportunities you have to capitalize on. You won't have the bases loaded in every inning, so need to come away with, I mean, at least a run here, ideally a couple to cut into this five-run deficit. And for McDougal, he's got a tough task here with Holy, but especially Bush waiting in the on-deck circle, a powerful lefty nearly at the plate.
Blake Hickman, pitching coach for Kannapolis in his second season in that role. Quick mound visit with McDougal. Hickman actually played for the Kannapolis Intimidators back in 2017. First pitch to Holy, fastball center cut, it's 0-1. Holy struck out swinging in his lone trip against McDougal in the second. Trevor Austin over at third, Cesar Hernandez at second, Naomar Ochoa Jr. leads off of first. The 0-1 breaking ball, and Holy does not oblige. Alzheimer's Awareness Night here at Segra Stadium. Those jerseys will be available for auction. You can bid on those online following the conclusion of this game. 1-1, and Holy fouls it off to the right. Of course, in-house here as well. They will be available for bidding. Saw a couple of jerseys that were won in some of these past auctions. Saw Chase Jaworski Mother's Day jersey autographed by Chase, and someone down to my left was wearing that yesterday. That's a cool find. 1-2, Holy takes down and in. And not only that, Chase Jaworski homered twice in that game against the Carolina Mudcats, so a little boost to the value. Only multi-home run game this year by a Woodpecker. This will be the 59th pitch for McDougal. No action right now in the Kannapolis bullpen. 2-2. Breaking ball in the dirt goes to the backstop. Hernandez got a big jump over at second. Pineda came up with it quickly. And with Austin holding it third, Cesar had to scamper on back. Full count now on Holy. Holy finds a way aboard here. Tying run is in the on-deck circle in the form of Will Bush, who does have a grand slam this year. Nowhere to put him for McDougal. He comes to the belt, gets the sign from Pineda. The 3-2 pitch. Holy takes ball four. Fastball up and in. He'll get an RBI as Austin comes in to score. The Woodpeckers are on the board. 5-1. Bases remain loaded here in this bottom of the fourth inning.
Yeah, the Kannapolis bullpen has a couple of guys throwing a football around right now. They're just playing catch with a football out there. I don't know if we can get a shot of that. Expected to turn my head and see a reliever starting to warm, but no, there's a couple of guys getting ready to go under center over there.
First pitch to Bush. Big swing and a miss.
I'm going to assume that's some sort of a warm-up for maybe a reliever getting ready to come into this game. One guy's got a sweatshirt on, though.
Same mechanics. It is a lefty that's throwing the football in the normal pitcher mound spot. Fastball nearly gets Bush to even the count 1-1. One Four of the first five batters that McDougal has faced in this fourth inning have reached. Single strikeout, single walk, RBI walk. 1-1. Bush takes in the dirt, bounces away from Pineda again. Hernandez will stay put at third. Will Bush popped out in his first at-bat, got underneath one, and Makarevic's made the play over at first. Five to one, Kannapolis remains in front. 2-1, Bush gets underneath another one and lifts it into left field. Long run for TJ McCants, going over by the wall, and he drops it. The ball hit his glove in foul territory, so no advance, but McCants got over there in time, and the ball might have tailed on him a little bit at the end. Will Bush will get another chance with a 2-2 count.
Boy, it's been a day of walks and hit batters and drop pop flies, and boy, not the cleanest ball game we've seen played here inside of Sagra Stadium, but Will Bush with another chance, see if he can straighten one out.
Could be a pivotal play if a big swing follows. The 2-2. Bush drives one deep down the right field line. Oh boy, he was just out in front. Yanked it about 30 feet foul. That ball left a vapor trail behind it. Let's see if he can straighten it out. It remains 2-2. Bases remain loaded. The pitch from McDougal, and Bush swings again, pops it up left side. This will be playable for Arxie Hernandez, and this time Kannapolis defense makes the play for the second out. So Bush with an eventful at-bat, had another opportunity, but ultimately couldn't straighten out that long drive down the right field line. And with two outs, they're still loaded, and Lucas Spence will get an opportunity. Third trip already for Spence, a walk and a ground out to this point. Hernandez off of third, Ochoa off second, Holy off first. Spence fouls the first pitch off the press box right above the visiting broadcast booth just to our right. Lefty Spence awaits the 1-0, or that was the 0-1 rather. Now it's 1-1, fastball up and in.
If you're watching on MILB.TV, we're having a little bit of a malfunction with our score bug right now. So the score actually 5-1, Cannonball. There's not 12-0 as you may be seeing there on your screen.
Is Dan Helody messing with our score bug? The 1-1. Spence is plunked as the fastball ran in on him. Spence in a little bit of pain, but he'll pick up an RBI. Bases loaded, HBP brings Fayetteville a step closer. Cesar Hernandez scores. It is now 5-2.
Well, that's the big key. You wanted to walk away with at least a couple of runs in this inning. And you didn't necessarily get that big hit, the big swing. Will Bush nearly went grand slam, but given a couple of freebies on the bases loaded walk and the hit by pitch. That Kannapolis bullpen, it took a long time to get warmed. Finally, they have a right-hander starting to loosen, but get a real chance to try and level this thing here.
We'll see just how long the rope is for McDougal. Joseph Sullivan, first pitch swinging, flies it into left center field. Nathan Archer coming over into the alleyway, and he makes the catch to end the inning. So the Woodpeckers leave the bases loaded, but get a little help from McDougal, who walks Holy with the bases loaded and then hits Lucas Spence to bring home another run. We head to the fifth, Kannapolis 5, Fayetteville 2. You're tuned into the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Party of the season. Head to Heckler's next Saturday, August 31st, for food and fun.
Attention baseball fans, are you ready to catch the Surfside Wave? Well, keep an eye out for Bunker, who'll lead the charge. Get on your feet and join the fun. Let's go, Bunker! Yeah.
And
while you're enjoying the game, be on the lookout for Surfside Iced Tea Plus Vodka, the perfect blend of premium vodka and real tea with only 100 calories and just 2 grams of sugar, all with absolutely zero bubbles at your local retailer. Surfside flavors include iced tea, peach tea, half and half, and lemonade. Let's make some noise and ride the Surfside wave this season. Mound for the Woodpeckers, Pedro Marquez.
Ryan Burrows standing in. Woodpeckers get a couple back in the bottom of the fourth, but still trail 5-2. It is Pedro Marquez back on the mound and back on the play-by-play celebrating his 500th game as the voice of the Woodpeckers. Congratulations, Andrew Chapman.
Wow, thank you, Colin. I didn't even know coming up to the ballpark today, and I had a couple of messages on the video board for me pregame. That was pretty cool to see. And, you know, half of those have been with you. We've made a great squad over the last few years, and hopefully the Woodpeckers can try and come back tonight and grab a W for number 500. Ryan Burrows ahead in the count, 2 balls and no strikes, and takes a little bit high from Pedro Marquez. 3 balls and no strikes. That's consistently been the spot where Marquez has missed today, elevating that fastball. He had to face 8 batters in the fourth inning, surrendered 5 runs. Fayetteville gets a couple back. Curveball dips down and outside, and it's ball 4 to Burrows. So a leadoff walk starts out the Kannapolis fifth. There's been a lot of free base runners surrendered today by the Woodpecker pitching staff. They've hit 3 batters. They have a walked 7 at this stage. And now Arxi Hernandez with the runner aboard. Stands in, and the runner's going. Burrows down to second base. Bush can't get the throw out. And Burrows hustles into second with stolen bag. Kannapolis wasn't able to capitalize on some of their early base runners. They left 6 on over the first 3 frames before finally starting to bring them home. There's a shin-high fastball called strike. A little bit off the inside, and it's 1-1.
You've been leaving a boatload of runners on all series long. I think it was 14 the other night they left on base.
Here's the 60th pitch of the day. It's down in the dirt. Bush scuffles with it for a moment. Burrows hangs at second.
That's the thing. If you have that great of an offense, you're bound to leave a lot of guys on base. You get so many more opportunities with runners on, and obviously if you don't cash in, you'll see that show up more. So in a way, it's also the sign of a really good offense because you have so many batters reaching base, so many multi-hit games, that sort of thing.
Bush going to head out there, talk to Marquez, and help hone him in. 2-1 the count on Arxi Hernandez, who's had a perfect day at the plate so far. Pair of singles, both to center field on line drives, so he's making some solid contact today. 2 of the 4 cannonballers hits to this point. Short lead off of second for Burrows. Here's the pitch, and a fastball pops the mitt right on the outer edge. It is 2-2, pardon me. Fayetteville keeping their eyes on Columbia, Charleston, and Myrtle Beach scores today. Right now, the Pelicans are leading the River Dogs 4-2 at the Joe, going to the bottom of the sixth. The runner's on the move. A fly ball golfed into center for Lucas Spence. With the sunglasses on, he camps underneath, makes the grab. Runner's going to tag the third. Holy, the cutoff throw down is not in time. Lucas Spence, after making the catch, just kind of casually fired it in towards the infield. Ryan Burrows had a long time to tag up. That ball was hit way up into the sky. And Burrows, seeing that throw just kind of floating in, hustles down to third base.
Heads up base running. Something that Kannapolis has done really well throughout the series is take what Fayetteville's given them. We saw Sam Antonacci dash home the other night on a pitch that got away back to the mound.
Now it's Luis Pineda. Fayetteville infield forced to play shallow with the runner at third. 5-2 Cannonballers in the top of the fifth. All of the scoring in the fourth inning. Pineda's hit into a double play, walked and scored a run. Looks at a slider down and outside. 2 balls and no strikes. There is a right-hander beginning to warm out in the Fayetteville bullpen. And Holy nearly got the throw down to third in time. And, man, that was closer than it looked initially. Just the stretch with the left hand, and Burrows able to get in there.
Really good slide from Burrows.
Showing you the replay on MILB.TV. Pineda ahead in the count, 2-1. Out of the stretch, Marquez delivers. And a fly ball out into straightaway right field for Ochoa. He continues to track it towards the line, makes the catch right along the chalk. The runner is coming home. Ochoa's throw sails high and all the way to the third base on deck circle. Burrows is in, and a sack fly from Pineda gets the Cannonballers out to a 6-2 lead.
I was going to say, very bold to test the arm of Neomar Ochoa Jr., and even sometimes he doesn't realize his own strength. He gunned that ball. Really good job sizing it up. Of course, Burrows tagging, and the throw just sailed a little bit on him, but man, he has got one of the best outfield arms out of anyone in this league.
Yeah, Ochoa has one of the throws of the season earlier in this month during the last homestand against Lynchburg. There's a strike on a breaking ball, outer edge to Nathan Archer, nothing and one. He threw out a runner all the way at third base from right field on the fly, attempting to tag up on a fly ball his way, and serious arm strength out of the 18-year-old Ochoa. A 19-year-old Ochoa, pardon me. 1 ball, 1 strike with 2 outs and the bases empty. Archer takes high.
He also threw out back-to-back runners in a crucial situation against the Salem Red Sox earlier in the year. I mean, yeah, those are two big outs that he gunned down at the plate on back-to-back pitches, might I add.
And we can always make a top 10 out of just Ochoa throws this season. 2-1, misses outside. Now 3 balls and a strike on Archer. Marquez nearing the end of his day. He's 70 pitches. I think that might have been Danny Trehe starting to warm out in the left field pen. He's stopped his warm-up now. 3-1 pitch. Archer with a line shot, hits a second. It caroms off of Austin's glove and rolls into right field. That ball was absolutely scorched off the barrel of Nathan Archer. Trevor Austin hardly had any reaction time, just stuck the glove up above his left shoulder, and it kicked off of the heel. Go for a hit just with how hard it was struck, and it pulls the Fayetteville manager, Ricky Rivera, out of the dugout. He may take the baseball here with Trehe ready to go. He does give the point, and the bullpen will take over in the fifth for a second time. Second reliever will enter into this game, and Woodpeckers will try and work around the base runner at first base. 1 run's come home in this Kannapolis fifth. Back out in front to a 4-run lead. 6-2 the score on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Tell you about Trehe in a moment.
Fans, this Woodpeckers call to the bullpen is being brought to you by Black's Tire and Auto Services. Now pitching for the Woodpeckers, number 99, Danny Trehe.
Yeah.
A call to the bullpen in the top of the fifth inning. Danny Trahey out of the pen behind Marquez, and on his very first pitch, the runner Nathan Archer sprints down to second base and swipes the bag. So that runner Archer to the responsibility of Pedro Marquez. He surrenders the two-out single. That puts an end to his day, just north of 70 pitches, and now it's Trahey, the right-hander out of the FAU program, making his second appearance of the series and third in his pro career. Antanashi at the top of the baller's order fouls the pitch straight back and into the screen. It's nothing and one. This Fayetteville pitching change, as always, brought to you by Black's Tire and Auto. When it's time for a change, it's time to go to Black's Tire and Auto. Antanashi's been hit by two pitches today and also drawn a walk. That's been the story of this ballgame, unfortunately, for Fayetteville pitching. Tons of walks and hit batters. Here's the 0-1. And it misses down and inside on Antanashi. George Wolko on deck as well, if the inning stretches any further. Fly out and a sack fly in this inning, accounting for the two outs. Luis Pineda's sack fly driving home Ryan Burrows to make it 6-2 ballers. Now a line drive out towards left center field. It will take a hop out in front of Hernandez. They wave around the runner. Archer coming to the plate. The throw's cut off behind the mound. And Kannapolis has grabbed two runs right back in the top of the fifth. Once again out in front by five. It is 7-2. And that will officially close the book on Pedro Marquez.
Yeah, it feels like Sam Antanachi's got like a 900 OBP in this series. I mean, it seems like every time he comes to the plate, he reaches. Four times he's reached today, reached four times yesterday in five trips. I mean, the guy has proven why he won a National Player of the Year of the JUCO ranks.
Yeah, seven hits in this series, a couple of doubles yesterday. Now Wolko gets a chance. He swings through a slider, but it gets through Bush. Down to second is Antanashi into scoring position. And a wild pitch will be assessed against Trahey. A really nice bounce back for Danny Trahey at home earlier in the week. He pitched against the Cannonballers on the 23rd. Went two hitless and scoreless innings, walked two, struck out four. That was after a debut in Augusta last week, where he surrendered three earned runs on two hits in one inning of work. Here's a slider popped up and over the third base dugout, foul. It's nothing and two. Actually, I think that hit the stadium light on its way down.
Yeah, it did. A guy almost made a nice one-handed catch, and he'll hand it off to a young baby.
Baby's like, what's this? He's got a cell phone, too? Here's the pitch, and Wolko strikes out. So inning over, Kannapolis grabs two runs right back following the Woodpecker two-run fourth, and it's 7-2 at the midway point on the Woodpeckers broadcast network.
That strikeout was brought to you by ERA Strether Real Estate. Two runs come across the plate in the top of the fifth inning. Fans, at this time, we'd like to ask all those who've been affected by Alzheimer's to stand and hold up your signs. On the mound for the Cannonballers, Tanner McDougal.
leading off the bottom of the fifth inning for the Woodpeckers, the first baseman, number 22, Hansel Villarroyal.
Hansel Villarroyal leads off the Fayetteville fifth inning. The Peckers down 7-2 today in the series conclusion with Kannapolis. Villarroyal 0-for-2 with a flyout and a groundout. He takes low and outside from Tanner McDougal. Kannapolis starter has made it into the fifth inning. He did have to work through a long fourth where he faced eight batters and gave up a pair of runs on a bases-loaded walk and hit by pitch. But he's been given a ton of run support tonight from his lineup. Five in the fourth, two more in the fifth to grab the runs right back. And needs just three more outs to become eligible for his first winning decision of the season. He's a combined 0-for-11 between the high A and single A levels. Pumps in a fastball on the 3-0 to Villarroyal. 3-1. Now the Kannapolis bullpen is warming to start out the fifth, and McDougal's pitch count is getting up there. This is his 75th of the day, and he tugs a fastball low and outside to walk Villarroyal and start the inning. For as many walks as the Woodpeckers have had today, there's also been some location struggles for McDougal. He has walked four and hit two. See where Pat Leland stands on making a decision. He'll keep McDougal out there to face Trevor Austin, who's seen plenty to hit today. He's 2-for-2 with a couple of singles. Attacks the first pitch, a mid-90s fastball, and sends it straight back for strike one. Caden Powell will be next. And then Cesar Hernandez. Third time through that these Woodpeckers have seen McDougal. There's a fastball that gets by Austin swinging. And he's behind, no balls and two strikes. Meanwhile, the Woodpecker bullpen has activated again. It may be just one out. Third of an inning for Danny Trahe today, getting out of the fifth behind Pedro Marquez before Ricky Rivera turns to his third reliever. Austin takes high up above the shoulders, and it's one ball and two strikes. Austin in his 11th pro game today, and with a pair of singles, he's upped his single-A average to .381. Up and in, look out. Austin spins away from a fastball up near his chest. And the count squares at two balls and two strikes.
Already seen a combined five hit batters in this game.
Short leadoff at first for Villarroyal. The two-strike pitch is popped up. First base foul ground. Makarevic's drifting over towards the stairwell of the Woodpecker dugout and puts it away for out number one. Villarroyal hangs at first with one out. It'll be Caden Powell.
As of now, no movement in that dugout, so Pat Leland can at least push him into the 80s pitch count-wise. And again, all you need is one ground ball, and McDougal will find his way into the dugout through five innings.
First pitch to Powell. High breaking ball hits the zone for strike one. That was the 80th pitch of the day for McDougal. Tip foul into the glove, and it's nothing in two. McDougal has gone as long as five innings this year, six innings, in fact, if you go all the way back to late April, April 30th. Pitched six innings for the Winston-Salem Dash on a season-high 89 pitches. He's at 82 right now. Here it comes. Powell strikes out. Retired on three pitches. And McDougal now an out away from completing five. He'll face the lefty Cesar Hernandez. Or will he?
Here
Pat
comes
Leland.
Pat.
Yeah, making a move, it looks like.
Let's see, he hasn't motioned yet. Might try to get a gauge as to where McDougal's at, but anytime you get up into the 80s, can be kind of a tough spot. And he's just talking to him for now. I think he's definitely earned an opportunity with, you know, what he's had to go through this year. He certainly has pitched well enough to win games throughout his time both in Winston-Salem and here in Kannapolis. So I'm sure the infielder is trying to convince him to get an opportunity, but in the end, it is Pat Leland who will take the ball.
Yeah, so after a quick conversation, McDougal heads back towards the dugout. He falls an out shy today of being eligible for that winning decision. Now it's time for the Ballers bullpen to take over. Man at first, two outs. When we come back in the bottom of the fifth, the Cannonballers are out to a 7-2 lead.
Pitching change is brought to you by the North Carolina Education Lottery. Did you know the North Carolina Education Lottery now has digital instants, which means you can have instant fun and instant wins from your mobile device or computer. Register to play digital instants today for a whole new way to win. Now pitching for the Cannonballers, number 25, Cleek Hartzog.
Annapolis turns to their bullpen with two outs in the bottom of the fifth inning. Hansel Villarreal at first for the new right-hander, Cleet Hartzog. He fires and gets a strike in there to Cesar Hernandez to begin his at-bat. Cesar 1-for-2 tonight with a single in the fourth, and he scored one of the two Woodpecker runs in that inning. Annapolis got two right back in the top of the fifth, leads 7-2. Hartzog delivers, misses down in the dirt. This visiting pitching change is brought to you by the North Carolina Education Lottery. Villarreal started out the inning with a walk. So he's aboard to the line of the starter, Tanner McDougal, who goes 4 2/3 today, falls just one out short of being eligible for his first win of the year. Fastball in for a strike. Cesar thought it was a little bit inside. Now 1-2. Right-hander continues to warm in the Fayetteville pen, so the Woodpeckers will probably turn to a fourth pitcher come the top of the sixth. Hartzog pitches. Strikes out Hernandez, or does he? He did not tip it. It was just dropped by Pineda. He tosses up the first baseline, and that'll complete the strikeout and end the Woodpeckers bottom of the fifth inning. They strand a runner down by five as we go to the sixth. 7-2 the score on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Hutchins and the Woodpeckers would like to recognize the Hutchins Law Firm high-performance season ticket holder of the game, Angela and Chris Hofflin. There they are. Show us that fan, because you are cool as a fan. All right. Fans, it's the last call to place your bids on tonight's game-worn jerseys. Head to Guest Services to place your bid now. Bids will close at the start of the seventh inning. This Woodpecker's call to the bullpen is being brought to you by Black's Tire and Auto Services. Now pitching for the Woodpeckers, number 15, Raimi Rodriguez.
No es malo tener nuestros demonios si los reconocemos. No, no. Malo es cuando nos convertimos en alguien que no somos y lo sabemos. Sí, sí. Cuando tocamos fondo, nos miramos al fondo y nos conocemos. Sí, sí. Yeah, yeah. Y el dinero.
dinero no lo es todo, pero vivo más tranquilo. Con las cuentas llenas y el corazón vacío. Me tiran sin saber que pa' los lados yo ni miro. Yo no les hago caso, saben dónde me paso. Me siento orgulloso si en el espejo me miro.
Leading off the top of the sixth inning for the Cannonballers, the left fielder, number 13, TJ McCax.
Into the top of the sixth inning, and the Woodpeckers turn to the bullpen. This pitching change brought to you by Black's Tire and Auto. The first pitch to TJ McCants from Remy Rodriguez misses up and inside. Here's the 1-0. McCants checks his swing on a curve. They appeal up the line, and Pedro Powell says he did not go. 2-0 on McCants. Alec Makarevic's next, the switch hitter, and then Ronnie Hernandez. So Rodriguez will see three straight batters batting from the left side. Here's the wind, the kick, and the 2-0. A pop-up foul over the press box and out of play. 2-1 on McCants, who's reached twice today on a walk, scored a run, and also struck out, so he's 0-1 in the book. Against Remy Rodriguez, 3-7 on the year with a 6.78 ERA. 22 games and 10 starts on the year for Remy. Pitch fouled straight back into the screen. And it's two balls and one strike. A 2-2, pardon me, on McCants. Rodriguez comes in behind Danny Trejo. Just a quick third of an inning for Trejo today behind Pedro Marquez. And Rodriguez already the third reliever and fourth pitcher utilized in today's game. The starter, Bryce Mayer, went over 30 pitches and went just one inning. Here's a pop fly, served softly out to left and slicing foul into the stands. So stay where it is. Yeah, 2-2. 7-2 the score. Ballers have led since a 5-run top of the fourth. 2-2 pitch. McCann spoils it. Straight back and clip the umpire. Keep it where it is. Remy Rodriguez has seen these Cannonballers a few times this year, including in the series opener on Monday night. He pitched in the bullpen, out of the bullpen, and gave up two earned runs on three hits over four innings. Walked two and struck out four. He misses wide with the 2-2 pitch, sails it all the way to the backstop. And it fills the count on McCants. Three Cannonballers have been hit by pitches today. In addition to that, seven other Cannonballers have drawn walks. So it's been a scattered game for Fayetteville pitching with a ton of free base runners given up. That's why you have seven runs on six hits in the Cannonballers line score. Inside, and it hits him. Remy Rodriguez hits McCants squarely on the outside of the right knee. That was going to be ball four anyways, but that's been the one thing that's really plagued Remy Rodriguez this year. He leads the Carolina League with 24 hit batters. And it is a wide lead across the Carolina League circuit. Down to first with a limp goes McCants. Fayetteville has plunked four hitters today. And each of the top three hitters in the lineup.
It's the downside of having a really gross slider. You throw that to a lefty, sometimes you just don't know how far in it's going to run. And that was an example of that on McCants. He tried to spot it right at that hip, as you can see the release point. And it just kept running all the way inside. Got him, and would have been ball four anyway, so you might as well see if you can get a draw out of that swing, but not the case.
Here's a line drive out into center field on the first swing from Alec Makarevic. It dumps down in front of Lucas Spence. And Makarevic, who already extended his hitting streak to 13 games with a single in the fourth inning, now has a multi-hit evening, 2-for-3. And the Ballers have two on to start the sixth. Nobody out for Ronnie Hernandez.
Obviously, pitching is what makes a difference in the playoffs, but this lineup for Kannapolis right now, the way they're firing on all cylinders, going to be tough for anybody to slow them down.
So Rodriguez working with some traffic on the bases quickly. First pitch to Hernandez, taken for a strike. Good backdoor slider. And it's nothing and one on Hernandez. 0-for-3 with a pair of pop-outs to short and a fly out to left field. 19-year-old Rodriguez with a look down to second. The left leg kick, the pitch is line foul out towards the train tracks. Nothing in two on Hernandez. Remy Rodriguez is in a stretch right now of some of his best pitching of the season. He went five hitless innings on the road in Augusta, just a stellar night where he got the start against the Braves affiliate. We mentioned his numbers last time around out of the bullpen, two runs over four innings. Here it comes, and a roller foul up along the first base side. So just over the last couple of weeks, nine-inning stretch, Remy Rodriguez is starting to look comfortable out there, albeit with a few walks still mixed in, five walks over the nine-inning span, eight strikeouts to go along with it, and has made some adjustments ever since unraveling for six earned runs over 2 2/3 at home against Columbia on August 3rd. There's strike three called. A slider nipping the high outside corner. Ronnie Hernandez goes down looking and falls to 0 for 4. Woodpeckers pitching has done a good job of keeping quiet one of Kannapolis's most consistent hitters in Ronnie Hernandez. Here's Ryan Burrows with one out. Double steal. The pitch called to strike. Throw down to second. Gets the trailing runner. Alec Makarevich is thrown out on a beautiful toss from Will Bush. TJ McCants had a great break going to third. Bush knew he had no chance to get the leading runner, but Makarevich was a little bit delayed. And catcher helps out his pitcher, picks up the second out. And the lone runner now at third base in Burrows. In McCants. Burrows at the plate, watches one go wide. He gives the runner the stop sign, and McCants hangs at third.
Second time now that Makarevich has been caught stealing, using that rundown to end the fourth inning as well. It was a fruitful caught stealing, though, as it did lead to a run scoring in McCants.
Infield plays back with two outs. The 2-0. Misses wide. And that was actually a 1-1 pitch. 2-1 the count, as indicated by Jared Neal behind the plate. 7-2 Cannonballers. They're trying to score for a third straight inning. A 2-1 gets by Bush. Ricochets back towards the plate. And thank goodness for the Segra Stadium springboard net behind home plate. Saved a lot of runs in this ballpark over the years.
McCants didn't even move. He didn't even take a single step. And that's a guy who runs really well.
Yeah, Pat Leland has his guys cautious over there at third base. You almost always see guys get thrown out at the plate on those wild pitches when they play in this ballpark for the first time. 3-1, misses down and outside, and Burrows draws the five-pitch walk. His second of the day, and the eighth surrendered by Fayetteville pitching. Here comes Zach Wilkins to chat things over with Remy Rodriguez. Is once again have a messy, messy inning down in the diamond, all originating from the mound.
And the walks have really been magnified over the last three home series against teams with really good offenses. We've seen it against the Columbia Fireflies, and then the Lynchburg Hillcats and Kannapolis have had arguably the top two offenses in the Carolina League all year long. They hit the ball well, but it's their patience that also makes a huge difference. And I think the Woodpeckers and this relatively young pitching staff, a lot of guys who don't have a ton of innings in single A on their arms, quickly realizing that they won't get nearly as much swing and miss on pitches out of the zone that they saw in West Palm Beach earlier in the year.
Well, a quick update from around the Carolina League today. The Myrtle Beach Pelicans are leading the Charleston Riverdogs 5-2 in the series conclusion from the Joe. And elsewhere, the Columbia Fireflies have jumped out in front of the Fred Nats with a four-run bottom of the sixth. And they lead 5-4 in the top of the seventh at Segra Park. Carolina and Augusta went final with a day game, 7-5 Muddies over the Green Jackets. Delmarva beats down East, and Lynchburg edges out Salem 5-4. Runners going. Bush's throw down gets the runner hung up. They'll hold the runner at third. Return throw going to first. And Burrows dives back in safely. Kannapolis has tried this already once today and successfully. But with runners on the corners and two outs, they're willing to get that trailing runner in a rundown just to bring home the third base runner before the final out is recorded.
And they'll trade that final out just to add another run to their lead, and I don't blame them at this point.
Big gap on the right side of the diamond with Austin pressed towards the middle. 0-1 pitch draws the chase and miss from Arxie Hernandez. Remy Rodriguez swatting away some gnats that are bugging him. We can attest to that down on the field during our pregame shows. They're all over us. The 0-2 is lifted out into right field. Should end the inning. Ochoa drifts underneath it, makes the catch, and the inning comes to a close. The Woodpeckers keep the Cannonballers off of the board for the first time since the third inning. Remy Rodriguez strands them at the corners, and we go to the bottom of the sixth. 7-2 Ballers on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Fans, at this time, we'd like to recognize tonight's Methodist University hometown hero, Sergeant Trenton Seidel. Sergeant Seidel is currently assigned to the 82nd Airborne Division, 3rd BDE Combat Team, as the machine gun team leader. He has trained and led his team to be the best in all areas. Their effectiveness on the battlefield earned them a selection as the 1-505 PIR best gun team in the battalion. Fans, let's hear it for Sergeant Trenton Seidel. The Fayetteville Woodpeckers thank you for your service.
Leading off the bottom of the sixth inning for the Woodpeckers, the right fielder, number 27, Neomar Ochoa Jr.
Bottom of the sixth inning, the Woodpeckers trail 7-2 to Kannapolis. It's the bottom three of the order, Ochoa, Holy, and Bush. First pitch to Ochoa popped up out into shallow right along the line. First baseman Makarevic's nudged by his second baseman as he makes the catch. Survived a little bit of contact and a communication fire there between Wolko, Antonacci, and Makarevic. The crisis averted, and it goes as out number one. Ochoa pops out. He's 0-1 on the day. And here comes Max Holy. Kannapolis has led since a 5-run top of the fourth. Woodpeckers grabbed 2 runs back in the home half, but then Kannapolis took them right back with 2 in the fifth inning. And they're back out to their game-high 5-run advantage. First pitch curve drops in for strike one to Max Holy. Cleet Hartzog is back on the mound after picking up the final out of the fifth behind the starter Tanner McDougal. Pitch misses high and inside. And it's 1-1 on Holy.
And strong defense has actually been huge for Kannapolis this year. In games in which they don't commit any errors, they are 41-16. So when they play clean defense in the field, usually results in W's.
Down and outside to Max. 1-1. Holy's driven in one of the 2 Woodpecker runs. Bases loaded, walk in the fourth when McDougal was struggling with some of his command. Holy with a line drive into the opposite field. It's served over Antonacci and down for a hit. Max Holy starting to consistently come away with base hits. He's come up with a single in 4 of his last 5 games with this sixth inning hit. Now here's Will Bush. First First pitch to Bush. Taken for a strike. Changeup right on the outer corner. Nothing and one on the Texas native Bush, who just missed out on a grand slam in the fourth inning. He clobbered a ball out to the landing deck. Holy's on the move. Throw down. The tag not in time. Burroughs tried to swipe the tag on Holy's left leg. He dives in head first and gets into scoring position. Will just missing out on what would have been his second grand slam this season. Six home runs and tied for the team high with 40 RBIs. Tied with Ochoa, who popped out to begin the inning. The 1-1. And Bush with a pop fly. Out into short left field, Hernandez goes back from third and makes the squeeze for out number two.
Max Holy picking up another stolen base. 9 for 9 so far to start his professional career. And I have to imagine that he would be putting up some pretty insane numbers had it been over the course of a 132-game season. Might get that opportunity next year. And we saw Jackson Lofton, Zach Cole kind of do that the end of their first year in 22. Came back in 23, and they were running wild.
Now it's Spence. Holy off of second. Woodpeckers trailing 7-2. Hartzog delivers and gets the swing and miss out of Lucas for strike one. He was hit by a pitch on the foot during the two-run fourth inning, brought home the Woodpeckers' second run. Hartzog with the look-in and the pitch. There's a fastball for strike two. Hartzog in just his second pro appearance. He made his debut earlier this series on the 21st of August. Went two scoreless and surrendered just one hit. One walk, struck out four. So nice debut for the 23-year-old out of Troy. And the Florida native strikes out Spence with a half-hearted swing. The inning's over. Fayetteville gets the one-out single from Holy, leave him at second. And we go to the seventh with the ballers out in front, 7-2 from Segra Stadium.
Fans, it's time for last call for any alcohol. Alcohol purchases at our concession stands will be cut off at the start of the eighth inning. Last call. Last call for alcohol. Don't forget, Pecktoberfest returns Saturday, September 28th. Make sure to get your tickets today. Advance pricing ends August 29th. Back on the mound for the Woodpeckers, Ramey Rodriguez. Leading off the top of the seventh inning for the Cannonballers, the catcher, number 24, Louis.
We're into the seventh inning. The Cannonballers are out in front 7-2 on Alzheimer's Awareness Night. There's a look at the jersey that you can bid on here in park today or live on Woodpecker social media. And the jerseys come right off the players' backs. Ramey Rodriguez winds and fires the first pitch of the seventh, draws a check swing from Pineda for strike one. And now to take you through the action in this 7-2 ball game, let's send it to Colin once again.
Thank you, Chappie. Righty against righty. Pineda so far is 0-for-1, just one official at-bat. But a half swing rolls up along first. It is picked up by Villarroel, and now he is 0-for-2. So Pineda, who's grounded into a double play, walked and scored. Had a sac fly in the fifth. Can add a three unassisted to the ledger nine-hitter Nathan Archer, who is 2-for-2 with a walk and two singles, will step in to face Rodriguez. Sunday night baseball, the Houston Astros in action, prime time, and they'll wrap up their series at Camden Yards against the Baltimore Orioles, who are neck and neck with the New York Yankees at the top of the AL East. First pitch just moments away between those two teams. First pitch to Archer misses down and in. Houston trying to end a little bit of a skid they've been in, but Seattle Mariners have been struggling as well, haven't made up much ground in that AL West. 1-0, cut on and missed by Archer. Now looking in the affiliates of the Astros system, everybody in action tonight, or at least scheduled to be in action. One game final, that's in high A with the Asheville Tourists. Archer out in front, but laces it into right field, and he's got a three-hit ball game. Kannapolis nine-hitter has reached in all four trips, a one-out single for the Ballers, who still lead at 7-2. Archer has stolen two bases as well. We'll see if he's in motion with Antonacci coming to the plate. But Asheville wrapped up their series just north of here in Greensboro, and they fall 5-4 in the finale to the Grasshoppers. Torres fall to 48-70 on the year. Breaking pitch misses low and in on lefty Antonacci. Kenny Gomez with a multi-hit game. Luis Encarnacion with two hits as well. Two guys that were on the roster here in Fayetteville earlier in the season. 1-0 misses outside. Another former Woodpecker from this year's squad, Oliver Carrillo, launched his seventh high A home run of the season. And a 2023 Woodpecker, Narbe Cruz, blasted his eighth bomb. That was in the fourth inning. Three-run eighth inning for Greensboro stole the victory for the Pirates affiliate. 2-0 on the outside corner for a strike. Kenny Gomez now hitting .283 since his promotion earlier in the month. Antonacci has been hit twice, walked, and singled. He's got two RBIs. Showing bunt, pitch misses outside, a delayed steal from Archer, and he dives in safely as the throw from Bush a bit wayward. Third stolen base for Nathan Archer. He's into scoring position. A 3-0 count now on Antonacci and one out. That is six stolen bases so far today for Kannapolis as a team. Rodriguez with the 3-1. Fastball down and in. That's ball four. Sam Antonacci, five trips, and he has reached all five times. Hit twice, walked twice, single. Another big boost to the on-base percentage for the fifth-round pick.
Well, and another instance here where you put the 9-1 hitters on directly in front of George Wolko. You know, he hasn't really laid into one yet today, but that's always on the docket potentially. RBI fielder's choice, and he's got to hope to keep him something on the ground.
Sad. I believe seven balls hit harder than 106 miles an hour across this series. Gets a swing and a miss that time as Rodriguez gets ahead in the count. It is mostly loud contact off the bat of the 6'7", 239-pound lefty taken in the seventh round last year by the White Sox. Signed to forego his commitment to the University of South Carolina. 0-1 from Rodriguez. Wolko takes down and in. Does have an RBI today on the fielder's choice back in the fourth inning. Double A Corpus Christi is not underway just yet. They are in a weather delay out in Amarillo to close out that series. Wolko a swing and a miss, 1-2. Trey Dombrowski, the left-hander, scheduled to get a start. And then in AAA Sugarland, they will take on the Albuquerque Isotopes. 7:35 first pitch, 20 minutes from now at Constellation Field. Wolko asks for time, steps back into the box with a 1-2 count. Runners at first and second for Kannapolis. Pitch number 35 from Rodriguez is cut on and missed. Good changeup, and Wolko down on strikes for the second straight AB. Big second out.
That's what you have to do against Wolko. Drop the curveball below the zone. He's been susceptible at that pitch, and it's what's led to a strikeout rate over 45% this year. I feel like as the series has gone on, the Woodpeckers have been able to execute that a little bit better and help keep his back quiet.
Banfield trying to get out of the inning unscathed, keep it a 7-2 ball game. TJ McCants, a swing and a miss. Good fastball from Rodriguez, whose velocity is getting up there, 94, 95 miles an hour. That fastball has steadily gotten harder and harder as Ramey's first season in Fayetteville has gone on. A look over at second, the 0-1. Late called strike two, McCants shaking his head. Rodriguez, one of just half a dozen guys left here in Fayetteville that were on the opening day roster. The youngest guys on the roster as well. His 0-2 pitch, and McCants sends it in the air left field. In a full sprint, Cesar Hernandez, but that ball will get into the seats. McCants has reached base three times, but he's only had one at-bat. That was a strikeout in the first. He has since walked twice and was plunked to lead off the sixth inning. Seven runs on eight hits so far for Kannapolis. Archer at second, Antonacci at first. Another 0-2 from Rodriguez. Here it is. And good breaking ball drops in for strike three. Back-to-back Ks for Ramey Rodriguez against Wilco and McCants. Gets him back into the dugout. Strands a pair of runners. Kannapolis has now left on 11 runners throughout this ball game as we head to the seventh inning stretch. 7-2, ballers still out in front at Segra Stadium on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Take me out to the ball game.
Hey, sing a little louder. I, so it's Root Packers. Sing it loud. At the old, atta boy, Packers, atta boy.
You know you make me wanna shout, kick my heels up and down, throw my hands up and down, throw my head back and shout, come on now, don't forget to say you will, don't forget to say yeah, 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 yeah,
say you will,
say it right now, baby,
say you will,
come on, baby, come on,
say you will,
say it better, yeah,
you will.
Mark McLaughlin will take over on the mound for Kannapolis. Third arm to pitch for the ballers, who lead it 7-2 as we enter the bottom of the seventh inning. Joseph Sullivan will lead it off against McLaughlin, who's making his second appearance of the week. Drops in a really nice curveball to begin his outing. 0-1 on Sullivan, who is 0-3 with a fielder's choice, strikeout, and a flyout. For Houston's seventh round pick in this summer's draft. Breaking ball is down in the dirt. McLaughlin, a fellow seventh round pick, was taken back in 2022 by the Chicago White Sox out of the University of Tennessee. Played his high school ball in Duluth, Georgia. Was born in Atlanta, 23 years old. Pitch, fastball, called strike two. McLaughlin is making his 28th appearance with Kannapolis this season, 2-4, with a 4.44 earned run average. Sullivan beats it into the ground, right to Antonacci at second, throw to first, and the leadoff man is set down to begin the home half of the seventh. So Sullivan now 0-4. Hansel Villarroel will step to the plate. He is 0-2. McLaughlin in his third professional season, as Villarroel chops it foul past third. Spent three seasons at the University of Tennessee, and he was a really effective relief pitcher for the Vols. Went 5-1 with a 1.90 earned run average across his college career. 75 2/3 total innings, a whip just above one. One ball, one strike on Villarroel. Fayetteville three-hitter. Pitch, another good breaking ball. McLaughlin gets ahead 1-2. Also pitched in four games during 2022 with the Kituat Kettleers in the Cape Cod Baseball League. 1-2 curveball, Villarroel grounder just inside of third this time. Long throw for Arxie Hernandez, and it's a bullet. 5-3 put out for the second out. Hernandez showing off the strength, stepping into that one. Trevor Austin, it's a multi-hit game, the only Woodpecker with multiple hits so far. Try to avoid another 1-2-3 inning. Both of Fayetteville's runs came in the bottom of the fourth. Austin takes strike one. McLaughlin went an inning and 2/3 and had some control issues four nights ago. But so far, he looks dialed in, gets a fastball over for strike two. Five walks for McLaughlin, gave up two runs, one hit, and struck out three. 0-2, Austin lets it go down in the dirt. Jefferson City, Missouri native awaits the 1-2 and takes a fastball up high. His college teammate Bryce Mayer getting the start, making his professional debut earlier tonight. They grew up in the state of Missouri, about 90 minutes away from each other. 2-2, Austin fouls it off. Austin coming from the state capitol. And about an hour and a half away, Bryce Mayer called Washington, Missouri home. 2-2 breaking ball. Austin squares it up, sends it into left center field. Coming over, though, to make the catch in front of the fence is Nathan Archer. Flips it up into the rocking chairs. The inning is over. Woodpeckers down in order. Two innings to play in this six-game series between Kannapolis and Fayetteville. Ballers lead it 7-2 on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
It's time for the Fable Regional Airport Luggage Race. Let's head down to Dom with our contestants. Take it away, Dom.
Thanks, Ray. All right, we've got the twins, Landon and Logan, that are about to do the Fable Regional Airport Luggage Race. All right, you guys ready? This is what you're going to do. You're going to run to the pants, throw them on, run to the shirt, make sure it's completely on, and then you're going to run to the luggage, put all the stuff in there, zip it up, roll it back. First one wins. Who's the most athletic? All right, then let's go. You guys ready to see the twins battle it out? Let's go. All right, now Landon is about to be the first to get his pants up. Oh, just kidding. Logan came out of the gate. All right, let's go. Landon's got on his T-shirt. It's been really hard to practice these names. Zip up and roll it back. Come on, come on, come on. Let's go, guys. Cheer them on. Let's go. Roll it back. Roll it back. Don't forget your pants. All right, you guys, and the most athletic twin wins. Back to you guys in the booth.
Back on the mound for the Woodpeckers, Ramey Rodriguez. Leading off the top of the eighth inning for the Cannonballers, the first baseman, number 21, Alec Maker-Evans.
We head to the top of the eighth on this beautiful Sunday evening in downtown Fayetteville. Alec Makarevic's at the plate, Ramey Rodriguez on the mound, and Andrew Chapman back on the play-by-play.
All right, thanks, Colin. 7-2 as the Woodpeckers try and dig themselves out of a deep hole. Kannapolis six outs away from grabbing a series victory after dropping the first two games. A chance to win four straight. And this Cannonballer team trying to
get right and build some chemistry with a bunch of new players on the roster before their postseason run. In the middle of September, South Division Championship Series upcoming against, the way it looks right now, potentially the Charleston River Dogs if they can hang on to their three-game divisional lead, over Columbia entering tonight. Rodriguez misses inside with a fastball, ran it all the way to the backstop. Makarevic is ahead, 2-1. Rodriguez fires, gets the swing and miss. 2-2 on a 95-mile-per-hour pitch. Makarevic with a 2-run single in the fourth. He singled again in the sixth. It's a 2-for-3 day, a walk mixed in as well, and out to a 13-game hitting streak. He's retired here on a great curve, diving below the zone. One of the best snapped off the day from Remy Rodriguez. And he's struck out 3 straight cannonballers going back to the 7th. One gone in the top of the 8th inning for Rony Hernandez.
Not just 3 straight cannonballers, Chappie, but Wilco, McCants, Makarevic. 3 guys who are very dangerous left-handed hitters. And Remy looking at making it look easy right now against them.
Infield shaded to pull as Hernandez backs away from an inside fastball.
I think he's almost hit all 4 of these guys, though, that he's faced.
He has. He's been really close to grazing one of these guys with a getaway fastball. He did hit the very first batter he faced tonight, T.J. McCants, in the 6th inning. 1-0 pitch on a line, stroke through the right side, and long run for Ochoa to cut this off before the track. Hernandez takes a big turn to first base, will stop with a single. And after an 0-for-4 start to the evening, he's got his first base hit of the day. And with that single, all 9 of the Kannapolis starters have reached base at one point or another. Many of them multiple times.
That looks like just Hernandez and Pineda the only ones who have not reached base multiple times, but even Pineda has a sac fly. So 1-9, everyone producing today for Pat Leland.
Will Bush holds a first pitch fastball there, but it's called a ball. 1-0 on Ryan Burrows. He's walked twice today, but is hitless, 0-for-2 with a fly out to center and a strikeout. Down and inside with a changeup. 2-0. Fayetteville will have an off day tomorrow and then on the road to Charleston for 6 against the first-place River Dogs. That's really the only olive branch that's out there for the Woodpeckers right now as a slider misses by a mile, runs all the way to the backstop, and it's 3-0 on Burrows, and Rony Hernandez heads down to second base. Woodpeckers are looking at potentially being 8 back with 12 to play, but their only chance to realistically make some sort of playoff push would be to go into Charleston, try and win 5 of 6 or maybe sweep first place River Dogs. Now we have a balk, and Rony Hernandez is granted third.
And might need a little bit of help, too, to gain some ground on the Columbia Fireflies. They play Augusta next week. They do have a game they need to resume in which they trail 6-0 to the Green Jackets, but Augusta obviously having their own problems here in the second half. Although they've gotten a little bit hot coming into tonight's game, at least. I think they'd won back-to-back games against the champions in the first half up in the North, the Carolina Mudcats. Also worth mentioning, Chappie, this will be the final time the Woodpeckers see Charleston until at least 2026 as well.
Yeah. Going to miss out on a couple of good destinations, Charleston, Kannapolis in 2025. The 3-1 to Burrows, down and inside for 4. And a 1-out walk will send Burrows to first. He has walked in each of his last 3 plate appearances. And with runners at the corners, it'll be Arxie Hernandez, and we'll have another meeting on the mound with Fayetteville pitching coach Zach Wilkins. Do apologize for some of our online scoring troubles tonight, but our crew doing the best to try and catch up with some of the action. They're almost fully caught up. And they try and give you some of those online stats. For the Woodpeckers today, tons of hit batters, 4 of those. The walks have really piled up as well. 10 walks by my count on that free pass to Ryan Burrows. Arxie Hernandez waiting to hit with runners the corners. Gives us a chance to peek around the Astros affiliate system today, where the Torres, Hooks, and Space Cowboys are starting to get into action. Asheville's been playing right alongside us today, and the Torres, they've gone final in Greensboro, 5-4, the final score. The Grasshoppers beat Asheville. And in the box score today for the Torres, on the offensive end, Kenny Gomez had a solid day. The former Woodpecker went 2-for-4 with a double. He hit his first high-A home run yesterday, and a multi-hit effort today. After the meeting on the mound, they're at the corners. First pitch nearly hits Arxie Hernandez, a curveball drifting in on him. And it's 1-1 and no strikes. A little further along out in the AA Texas League for the Corpus Christi Hooks. And they're actually in a delayed start still in Amarillo. They ran into some weather against the Sod Poodles, so they're waiting to get off of the ground. Thought they might have started by now, not the case. And the Pacific Coast League, the AAA Sugar Land Space Cowboys are starting to warm up at Constellation Field against the Albuquerque Isotopes. 2-0 on Arxie Hernandez. The pitch hits him. Ay, ay, ay. Remy Rodriguez has just plunked his second batter of the day. Fayetteville pitching has beaned 5 in this one, and the bases are now loaded.
At this point this season, you might as well bring a flak jacket up to the plate anytime you're facing Remy Rodriguez.
I mean, 25 hit batters in a single season. I double-check the record books, but that's got to be right up there near a franchise record, if not already the franchise record. But bases loaded now with Luis Pineda standing in. 7-2 Cannonballers. And on the first pitch, Pineda loops it foul over the first base dugout. And there's been a ton of traffic on the base paths today for Remy Rodriguez, but to this point, no runs have come home. Remy stranded him at the corners in the sixth inning. He left him at first and second in the seventh inning. Now he has bases loaded, one out. Pineda takes outside, and it's 1-1 and one strike. Pineda with a sac fly. He's also walked and scored. Takes down and outside in the dirt. 2-2 and a strike. Not sure how much bullpen depth the Woodpeckers have available at this point either. Behind the starter Mayer, relievers Marquez, Trahey, and Remy Rodriguez. It could end up being a position player, but we'll have to see. Here's the wine and the 2-1. Fouled straight back.
That 25th hit batter, by the way, the most now in a single season in the Carolina League going back to 2021. Here's a familiar name for you, Chappie. Michele Vassalotti for the Carolina Mudcats plunked 25 batters
25.
That season.
Yeah, Vassalotti picked up a number of winning decisions against the Woodpeckers. I think he was with the Mudcats in 22 as well. 2-2, drifts outside, and now it's full. Rodriguez has to come at Pineda. Otherwise, it's 4, and a run added to Kannapolis' 7-2 lead. 10 walks, 5 hit batters today. Rodriguez hunting his 5th strikeout. He fires the 3-2, and a ground ball skips up the mound and out into center field. Hernandez is home from third. Ryan Burrows swings around. He'll score as well. And a 2-run single for Luis Pineda ups it to a 9-2 Cannonballers lead in the top of the 8th.
Got to feel good for Pineda. Hadn't had any action all week long and gets an opportunity on Sunday. He's made the most of it. And a sac fly earlier, and this time he worked a lengthy at-bat against Rodriguez. Finally got the fastball he was looking for and just drove it right up the middle.
It's first and second with one out. Cannonballers with their third multi-run inning today. They've all come in chunks. 5 in the fourth, 2 in the fifth, 2 more here in the 8th. And here comes Nathan Archus having a 3-hit day and a chance to build on that. First pitch fastball taken for strike 1. Right-hander beginning to warm out in the left field bullpen for the Woodpeckers. A fly ball out into shallow center field. Holy goes back, gives way to the center fielder Lucas Spence. He reaches up above the cap and makes the catch for the second out. So Archer is retired after three singles. He'll go to 3-for-4. He had reached base in all four of his plate appearances. Back up to the top of the lineup card, a sixth trips for Sam Antonacci. And he has made it aboard in all five plate appearances. Been hit twice, two walks, and a single as well. Driven home a couple of runs today and has two aboard with two out. Rodriguez delivers. And a ground ball yanked softly out to second base. Charging in, Austin quickly transfers and flips over to first. The inning comes to a close. Luis Pineda adds to the Cannonballers' lead with a two-run single. They're up by a game-high 7 runs, 9-2 the score as we move to the home eighth on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
It's time for the Ultimate Pony Race. Let's head down to Dom with our contestants. Take it away, Dom.
Thanks, Ray. Guys, we are back again for an Ultimate Pony Race. We've got Allie going to take on Bean. And I'm going to let you know, in the tunnel, we all said Allie was going to win. Who do you guys want to win? You want Allie or Bean? All right, I guess let's show them. You guys are going to race all the way down to Sean and then come back. You ready? Let's go. All right, Bean's taking the lead. Allie, come on, Allie. Everybody's cheering for you. Bean is making it look real easy. Now he's going to turn around. Come on, Allie, turn around, catch up. Bean is taking no prisoners. And he is our winner for the Ultimate Pony Race. Make some noise for Bean. Come on, Boo. Back to you guys at the booth.
Back on the mound for the Cannonballers, Mark McLaughlin.
I can't show no feelings. Been in when I was 10. Nowadays ain't no time for me to kick it. Been it to a tensile. They gon' say that I've been that.
Leading off the bottom of the eighth inning for the Woodpeckers, the third baseman, number 13, Caden Powell.
Peckers down by 7 runs in the bottom of the eighth inning. Caden Powell will lead it off for the Woodpeckers and take strike one from the righty. Mark McLaughlin turns for his second inning of work after retiring the side in order quickly in the bottom of the seventh. Up and outside with a fastball, and it's 1-1 on Caden Powell. Cesar Hernandez on deck, and then Naomaro Ochoa Jr. Next pitch, a curve yanked on a fly out into left field. McCants sprinting forward and makes the catch at his chest for the first out of the eighth. Caden Powell goes to 0-for-4. The Woodpeckers have been held to just 4 hits today. They've all gone for singles. Trevor Austin has 2 of the 4, Cesar Hernandez and Max Holy as well. Here's Cesar, who's 1-for-3 on the day with the single and the run scored. And it, in fact, will not be Cesar Hernandez. It is instead Rebel Colon.
Opportunity to get Colon an at-bat here after a couple of days off. Had his first Carolina League hit earlier in the series.
Yeah, he started his single-A career 0-for-13. Breaks his bat, sends a one-hopping liner out towards second base. Antonacci brought it in with a dive, tried to flip it to his shortstop to get the throw off, but no play to be had, and Colon comes away with his second hit of the series. He snaps his bat on just one swing, but Woodpeckers have a base runner with one gone for Naomaro Ochoa Jr.
I don't think they had enough time to get Colon because he runs really well, but that would have been something else if Antonacci could flip it with the glove to the bare hand of Ryan Burrows.
Fastball for a strike.
That's something we've seen more and more of guys try to do is shovel the ball to the other middle infielder and throw the out there. We've seen it successful, I think, in the Lynchburg series they pulled it off.
Down to the dirt. Ochoa takes. Cologne thought about advancing. Twists around and heads back to first. So ball one on Ochoa to get it to one ball and one strike. Six home games remaining on the docket after tonight. Final homestand begins September 2nd. Series runs through September 8th. And we've got a number of good promotions upcoming out of the ballpark for you to be a part of. Ochoa swings at a high fastball. It's now 1-2. Got one more big fireworks show, Friday fireworks show. We also have a fireworks on the final Sunday game at 5:05, September 8th, fan appreciation night. And there's a really cool hockey night with a hockey jersey giveaway on September 7th. Ochoa with a ground ball, yanked to third. It gets through. Hernandez ricochets towards short. And a fielding error will put Ochoa aboard. Marcy Hernandez tried to get his glove down on it. It went right through the webbing. And Ochoa unlikely to be credited with a hit there, but he'll make it aboard. And the Woodpeckers have two on with one out for Max Holy.
Ball was hit pretty firmly, but Hernandez, who made a really nice play last inning over at third, had a strong throw, just kind of took his eye off it briefly, and ball ate him up.
So force at all bases now for Mark McLaughlin. Here it comes. And he delivers strike one to Max Holy. First 1,000 in attendance on that Saturday night game, September 7th. We'll get the Woodpecker hockey jersey giveaway just in time for start of the Carolina Hurricanes season in a couple of months. You're a hockey guy, Colin. When's the NHL start?
Right around basketball, about a week before, October.
Okay. Yeah, right around October because finals in the Stanley Cup always aligned with the schedule. Another look at Arxy Hernandez. Just didn't quite get that glove down. Ball clipped him on the foot. Otherwise, it would have been rolling into left field. Force at all bases. The 0-2. Lined out into the opposite way. Wolko comes forward on it. Makes the catch. Throwing to first. It trickles by Makarevics. McLaughlin off the mound. Quickly goes to scoop it up. And the runners stay where they are. Cologne at second. Ochoa at first. Holy with the line out to right field for the second out of the inning. He goes to 1-for-3. And here comes Will Bush with another chance. Runners in scoring position. He's 0-for-3 with a couple of pop outs and a foul out. Nine two Cannonballers. And time called as Pineda communicates with his pitcher. McLaughlin took his cap off and looked at maybe a little note sheet in the cap indicating what the signs are supposed to be in this situation. First pitch to Bush, and a little bit early at a slider. Nothing in one. Will almost hit a grand slam in the fourth inning. Just a little bit early on a pitch and yanked it deep out towards the landing deck. Had home run distance behind it. It went for a foul ball, nearly his second grand slam of the year. The 0-1 fouls it straight back into the screen. Nothing and two on Bush with two outs and two on in the top of the ninth. It'll be the top hitters of the order, Antonacci, Wolko, and TJ McCants. Actually, it'll be Wolko, McCants, and then Makarevics. Antonacci, the final out of the eighth inning. The set and the 0-2 pitch. Bush fights another one foul, shoots it over the roof and out of play. It stays where it is at nothing and two. We'll be on the road for you next week, as we always are, at the Joe in Charleston. We'll have the radio feed for you, but they also have a good TV feed in-house so you can watch the game if you're unable to head down to Charleston. The Holy City, as they call it. The nothing and two pitch again. Bush takes a high breaking ball.
And between our broadcast and the TV broadcast, got each of the last three Carolina League Broadcasters of the Year between Chappie and Jason Kemp.
The unofficial official award.
Yep.
30th pitch upcoming for Mark McLaughlin. Here it comes. and draws a check swing on one down in the dirt. They appeal behind the mound, and Pedro Powell, yeesh, says that Will Bush went through.
It's 50-50, I think, but, yeah, I don't think he swung.
No, I don't think so either. Bush reserves the argument for another time, heads back to the dugout, and we head to the ninth inning. 9-2 the score. Cannonballers up big on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Let's head down to Dom on the dugout with our contestant. Take it away, Dom.
Hi, guys. I am here with Austin, and he is going to guess which one of these three wallets has the Capital One Venture X card. Austin, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, you guys going to help him out? All right, let's get shuffling. Keep your eye on the card. You see it? Okay. Oh, I lost it already. I hope you got it. One, two, or three, what you say?
Gonna go with one.
He's gonna go with one. Yes, he is our Capital One Wallet Shuffle winner, and we got a prize for you. But we also have a prize for all you Capital One holders. Make sure to check out the Capital One app or the MLB / Capital One card. What's in your wallet? Did I do it right? Let's go.
Fans, don't forget to stick around after the game ends for Kids Run the Bases and Catch in the Outfield. Bunkers Buddies members can enter the field from Section 126. All other participants can enter from Section 128. This Woodpeckers Call to the Bullpen is being brought to you by Black's Tire and Auto Services. Now pitching for the Woodpeckers, number 4, DeWill Almonte.
Pasando el rolo, volvió el negro loco colo. Que lo jode como quiera, acompañado solo. Este es mi chance.
Leading off the top of the ninth inning, the right fielder, number 17, George.
We are into the ninth inning. DeWill Almonte takes over for the Woodpeckers and fires his first pitch of the night to George Wolko. Gets a swing and miss on a slider, and it's nothing and one. 2-3-4, the baller's order, leading 9-2 over the Woodpeckers. It'll be Wolko, McCants, and Alec Makarevics all in their sixth plate appearances of the game. Almonte motions, fires, and misses up high with a slider. One ball and one strike. So the day done for Ramy Rodriguez. Almonte is the fourth pitcher out of the pen and the fifth utilized in total today by Fayetteville. Here's the 1-1 home. And Wolko swings through a slider. It is one ball and two strikes. Almonte making his second appearance of this series, 26th of the year at the Fayetteville pen. He's 1-1 with a 3.86 ERA. 37 and a third innings, 16 earned runs allowed, 15 walks, and 38 strikeouts. 1-2 is in there for a called strike three. Almonte perfectly places a changeup right on the outer corner to the lefty. Wolko strikes out in a third straight at bat. And now here's TJ McCants. McCants has walked twice, been hit by a pitch, and also fanned twice. Now, Monte, just a guy who's consistently thrown strikes this year and worked in a variety of different roles. Here's the pitch coming home and swings and misses at a high one, McCants. And I think DeWill Almonte has just been one of the best situational guys that Fayetteville's had in their pen all season long. Arrived to the staff in late April during the Fredericksburg road trip. 0-1 to McCants and misses outside, but Almonte's a guy you can put into a game when the bases are loaded and you need a couple of outs. Maybe your starter's struggling, he can come into a game late just to clean up a couple of outs when you're trailing. And he's served long relief at times, eating up 3-4 innings if that's what's needed. You have a starter exit in the first or the second. That flicks over our heads and goes to 1-2 in McCants. And he's just ready for whatever radio call might come his way in the bullpen. And he's filled the role admirably to get some solid numbers. 3.86 ERA in his first season of full season Pro Bowl.
That's coming off an injury, too, after he missed all last year.
Yep.
Here's a hanging breaking ball that is hoisted into center for Lucas Spence. Fayetteville center fielder hardly has to move. He waits for it to come down and makes the grab at his cap for the second out of the ninth inning. McCants remains hitless, although he's been on base three times. He goes to 0 for 3. And here is Alec Makarevic's, a multi-hit day today and out to a 13-game hitting streak. First pitch coming home from Almonte. And a good curve loops in for strike one to Makarevic. Approaching the 8 o'clock hour here on the East Coast, it's a little bit of a drawn-out game tonight in a series that's had a number of three-hour-plus contests. Not all that common in the new pitch clock era. Makarevic with a pop-up, drifting behind home plate. Will Bush giving it a chase, and it'll end up in the seats.
That was the first time I've stood up in like 3 hours. My back needed that.
You're going to have a head rush?
Yeah.
You'll lose your balance. It's been a long game tonight. Fayetteville has been trailing since the top of the fourth when Kannapolis scored 5 of their 9. The 0-2 swatted foul off to the left and over the dugout. Houston Astros just got going out in Baltimore against the Orioles. They're the Sunday night baseball matchup tonight, so you can watch them, a national audience. The 0-2 pitch, Makarevic tied up swinging on a curveball. It's a very quick 1-2-3 ninth for DeWill Almonte. Fayetteville's final chances in the home half come up next. 9-2 the score.
Fans, don't miss out on any action this season. Come out to Segra Stadium and catch the Woodpeckers in action again, starting on September 2nd against the Myrtle Beach Pelicans. This is another pitching change brought to you by Digital Instants from the North Carolina Education Lottery. Now you can play right from your phone or computer and win real cash prizes. Go to nclottery.com now to get 20 free games of Mighty Mustang with a $10 deposit. Enter code BASEBALL10. That's BASEBALL10. Now pitching for the Cannonballers, number 38, Connery Peters. Leading off the bottom of the ninth inning for the Woodpeckers.
It's the bottom of the ninth inning, and the Woodpeckers and Cannonballers head to the final frames. Lucas Spence leads it off with a pitch low from new right-hander Connery Peters. And now it's one ball and one strike to count. Next one on the way is called to strike, 1-2.
little bit outside. And the count to 2-2. Connery Peters. There's a line drive foul off to the left and to the concourse. So he takes over for Cleet Hartzog. Peters 2-0 on the year with a 5.29 ERA. And tonight makes his 26th appearance in a Cannonballers uniform. Here's the 2-2. And another fly ball off the left and to the concourse. Stays where it is. Joseph Sullivan and Hansel Villarreal, the top three hitters of the Woodpeckers lineup, will get a chance in this ninth, trailing 9-2. Cannonballers out hitting the Woodpeckers 10-5. And they've led big ever since a five-run top of the fourth. Spence spoils another one. Two balls and two strikes. Outside fastball, 3-2 the count. On the payoff, it misses low, and Spence heads to first with a leadoff walk. Audio issues here upstairs, but I think we've got the grasp on it. Hope you have us loud and clear. Colin, I hear you.
Yep. Good? Yeah, I'm holding the mixer part in place and trying to keep score left-handed, so wish me luck.
Late night audio malfunction, but I think we've got it squared away. We're going to duct tape a couple of things up here and make sure we get through tonight's nine-inning ball game. Now it's Joseph Sullivan, and the first pitch drifts outside, runs through the catcher. Pineda chases after it. And Lucas Spence heads down to second on the wild pitch. Connery Peters, the 24-year-old right-hander, originally from Fort Worth, Texas. He went to college at UT Arlington and attended high school at Joshua High School in Joshua, Texas. Woodpeckers have seen plenty of Connery Peters this season, a guy who's been in the Kannapolis bullpen since back on May 2nd when he made his season debut on the road in Lynchburg. Went a combined three scoreless innings against the Woodpeckers at Atrium Health Ballpark during May. This is outside Joseph Sullivan, and it's now a three ball and no strike count. Sullivan 0-for-3, a fielder's choice, strikeout, ground out, and fly out. And here's the 3-0. It misses up and outside, and the on-base streak will extend for Joseph Sullivan. He has reached base in every game as a pro, and the ninth inning walk puts him aboard once again. So two on back-to-back walks from Peters, and it'll bring Hansel Villarreal up to the plate. Meeting on the mound is Pineda, heads out there to chat with Peters. Villarreal with a chance to do a little bit of damage. Woodpeckers will need a bunch more base runners, though. Down seven runs in the bottom of the ninth inning. Here it comes. And Villarreal takes a slider. It is nothing and one. Around big league baseball today, Aaron Judge was the big story. Two home run game, and he has 51 now, well on pace to break his American League record of 62. Fastball right there on the outside corner, and nothing and two on Villarreal. You said, Colin, you give him a 1% chance to maybe live in Bonds territory this year. He would have to go on a tear.
The thing is I would give anybody else on the planet zero, so that just gives you the idea.
Villarreal strikes out on three pitches. Peters makes the correction after a meeting on the mound, fights back following the two walks, and now will face Trevor Austin. Villarreal goes to 0-for-4. If he keeps, if he has a couple more multi-home run games like he did today, there's an avenue to get there with right about 30 games remaining in the regular season.
It's still kind of strange for me to say that Aaron Judge is the AL leader with just how long Roger Maris held that record.
And there's a wave and miss from Austin for strike one. In other Yankee news, but involving a Yankee from about 100 years ago, Babe Ruth. You see the jersey of his that sold at auction just the other day? That was a headline that came across my screen today. $24 million for a Babe Ruth jersey from the 1932 World Series Game 3.
Vintage Point out to center field.
That's right. That's where the legend of the called shot originated from, as Austin drives it into the opposite field. Wolko takes a step back, lines it up, makes the grab. No tag for Spence from second. Throw cut off near short. And the Woodpeckers are down to their final out. Most expensive piece of sports memorabilia ever purchased. They passed up a Michael Jordan game-worn jersey from Game 1 of the 1998 NBA Finals in his final year with the Chicago Bulls. We were talking Jordan earlier. And Babe Ruth broke the record by $14 million.
Hey, there might still be a PSA 10 Honus Wagner card out there that could perhaps challenge it.
Possibly. I dig through a couple of old shoe boxes. Low and away, fastball from a 2 Caden Powell. Misses outside. One ball and no strikes.
I don't think they had any laminators back then, though. So.
Yeah, but that was one of the cool headlines that I saw come across the ticker earlier today. $24 million, and there's some hearsay about the called shot, whether it actually happened. There's some uncertainty as to whether or not that specific jersey that sold was also from that game, as Powell bounces it off to the right. It's fielded by Antonacci. Throw over to first will end our ball game. And that'll put a close on this series and this homestand. Kannapolis defeats Fayetteville in a fourth straight game. 9-2 the final score. They run away with it after a five-run top of the fourth. And we'll bring you the final totals and more coming up next on the Woodpeckers postgame show. Kannapolis wins 9-2 at Sacra Stadium on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Parker's Buddies members can enter the field from Section 126. All other participants can enter from Section 128. Fans, at this time, please draw your attention to the video board for our post-game show with broadcasters Andrew Chapman and Colin Casey. It's the CNC Connection. Take it away, Chappie.
All right, thank you very much, Ray. Welcome back upstairs, everybody, inside of the Czar Law Firm broadcast booth for the Woodpecker post-game show. This six-game homestand has come to a close, and tonight the Cannonballers get out of town with a series victory, a 9-2 final score over your Fayetteville Woodpeckers. It was a strong start to the week, Colin, where Fayetteville grabbed the first two games, but just couldn't get much going offensively. And the walks were a big part of tonight's game, and unfortunately too many games over the course of this series. Ultimately, Kannapolis, you know, they capitalized on some of those free base runners the Woodpeckers gave up today to pull away and win by seven runs. And now Fayetteville just has to let it let it get behind him and go into Monday's off day, reset, and get ready for a big series against Charleston next week against the first place River Dogs, who are trying to cruise to a title here at the final stretch of the second half. And that microphone is no more. That one has a dead battery. So I'll just wrap up my point and say, you know, Woodpeckers are going to have a tough task this week on the road, and we'll see what they can do against Charleston.
Yeah, and it's an opportunity to try and close some ground in the division picture. And at the end of the day, yeah, they are running out of time with just 12 games left. The Woodpeckers are. But, hey, you can always play spoiler with the two opponents you have coming up. You got Charleston and Myrtle Beach, who are both very much in the South Division picture. And, you know, these are still important games for development and an opportunity for a lot of these prospects to try and make a name for themselves over the last 12 games and really leave a lasting impression within the organization. So, obviously, those guys will be taking it very seriously and trying to put together some wins. We saw it last year with the Woodpeckers winning 14 of their last 18 games, so they know how to close out a season strong, and this was an example of just how strong Kannapolis's offense was in this series. The Woodpeckers did jump out to that 2-0 lead, Chappie, but we saw that that offense never went away for the Ballers. You know, they've been a really good hitting team from the get-go. They've seen a lot of guys that get promoted, but even still, they bring in some more talent through the draft, through free agency, where they just have had boatloads of guys that can put the ball in play and certainly make you pay when you walk, as many guys as the Woodpeckers were responsible for tonight. So at the end of the day, you go into this this road trip with a clean slate against the River Dogs, an opportunity to maybe stack some wins to close out the season and kind of get some of that momentum. And that's really all it comes down to at the end of the day. And Chappie, just want to wish you another congratulations for your 500th game as the voice of the Woodpeckers. Wish it was a victory. I could hear a few of the fans that are sticking around for this conclusion giving you a nice ovation. Too bad it wasn't a victory, but I'm sure there's many more on the horizon. And once again, just a big congrats. And also a happy birthday to your dad as well. A pretty special day for the Chapman family.
Yeah, no kidding. Happy birthday, Pops, out in California, if you're tuned in. And thank you again for that, Colin, and all the folks who have reached out since. It's win or lose, always a great day to come out to the ballpark when you're working with our players, our staff, our front office, and our fans as well. And we thank you so much for coming out this last week, checking out some Woodpeckers baseball. We hope you can join us one more time at Segra Stadium before we close it down this summer. Can't believe the season is nearly come to an end. Our final homestand begins September 2nd against the Myrtle Beach Pelicans. We'll have six games for you, a couple of fireworks shows over the weekend, a great hockey jersey giveaway. Make sure you give to FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com and the promotions tab to check out all we have in store for you over the final six games as your Woodpeckers play host to the Myrtle Beach Pelicans September 2nd through September 8th as we wrap up the year. Colin and I will be on the road with you next week in Charleston, Fayetteville, and River Dogs, beginning on Tuesday night out at the Joe. FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com if you want to tune in the radio broadcast. Until a couple of weeks from now, and we see you once again at Segra Stadium. Good night, everybody. Fayetteville falls 9-2 in the final score to Kannapolis tonight. Drive home safely and enjoy the rest of your Sunday evening. Signing off from the Czar Law Firm broadcast booth. Good night.